Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Nerd off, nerd off, nerd off.
Yo, welcome to another episode of the Nerd Off, the Blackout Tips premium nerd podcast for all the people out there that like nerd shit. It's been a couple weeks since our last episode. You know, we like to wait till there's actual shit to talk about rather than forcing it. And we went out and got some guests. As always, I never do this alone. I am joined by Karen, the neo nerd and nerd in denial. What's going on, Karen?
How y'all doing out there?
Doing great. Thank you for coming back.
Mm-hmm.
We also have almost like unofficial co-host, I'd say at this point, who's been on most of the episodes of the Nerd Off. It's my man Chris. What's going on, dog?
What's going on, man? What's going on, people?
Are you still on a high from Comic Con, or has the world brought you down?
No, I'm still on a high from it, and we can talk about it a little bit later. But yeah, fuck this corporate life, man. I realized I can't do this shit no more, yo.
Right? Yeah. I mean, you talked about that, yes, sir.
Yeah, when you go out there and it's cool because you're if you're doing it as press, you're side by side by bigger press outlets. And everybody always asks, like, "Oh, so what outlet are you covering this for?" And I'm like, "My own site." And they're like, "Oh, that's cool." And not like on a to look down on you, but because a lot of them are usually there covering it for somebody else,
right?
And they can't really decide what they're going to go to. So I had complete control over my schedule when everybody else had to leave. Like, some people were in their Hall H, they had to cover stuff that day for WB. But they weren't covering stuff for Marvel that night, so they got to miss the Marvel stuff.
You know? Jeez.
So, I realize I want more of that and less of having to be at work. So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you could make it, man, and I'm glad that you came back. I thought for a while you just were gonna stay out there,
right? Never come back.
And, never
tempted,
come back.
Yo. I was tempted.
It seemed like you had so much fun, man.
Right.
And the other person on the show, man, is a dude that, you know, I thought may have been a bit nerdy from some of our interactions on Facebook and stuff. It's Romaine Walters, a.k.a. That Black One on Twitter and on Twitch. First of all, what kind of stuff are you doing on your Twitch channel, man?
Well, I'm trying to get this comic gamer nerd vibe. You know, there's not a lot of gaming nerds that come together like this often. So the fact that I've even been invited, I'm just like, this is awesome. I don't even know what to say. You know, I used to walk around and use terms like, you know, especially in my stand-up, nerd grow, you know, the black nerd that's
I like that.
Never quite fits in, you know, like you got the fantasy, you know, the Final Fantasies and all that good stuff. Like, I'm comic book gamer nerd type. And, you know, you don't see people that look like us in a lot of games. Even if you can make a character like us in the settings, you don't see that. You know what I mean? Like, you make a black character in the beginning, you press start, and you're the only black guy in a castle full of white people. So it's basically like Different Strokes, but in fantasy land. And it's not that fun after a while. So I'm trying to bring that back, and also bring comics on. So you ever see, what's that thing called? Seinfeld's.
Yes.
Driving around. So yeah, we have comics on right now. It's been one of my friends, Jamel Johnson, has been on. We do a band together, but so we're kind of still testing the water, seeing what we want to do with it. We're having other comics on soon, local comics, hopefully branching out to some bigger nerd names.
That sounds cool.
In the coming word. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we play games as we're you know, interviewing and stuff like that. So we can, you know, really talk some shit to people that would usually not want to hear during an interview, like during the game of Street Fighter. How would you like to hear a few questions, you know, about your personal life and about what you do in your stand-up? Meanwhile, Chun-Li's giving you a sweet kick to the face, and I'm just looking at you like, yeah, take that, son. Take that.
Yeah, that's
you know the funny thing about that, the way you're talking about this is, you know, I'm always meeting new people, black people, who are doing podcasting and nerdy stuff and things like that. And the cool thing about it is we don't step on each other's toes because everybody has their own little angle of what they're doing that's different from everybody else. So yeah, it's just like a great network to have to meet these people and what everybody's doing, man. It's cool.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And of course, Chris is from movietrailerreviews.net. I forgot to mention that. And, You know, you've been doing a lot of movie reviews lately, and I see you've been doing some interviews, man, at Comic-Con. You got to talk to my homie Anthony Head, a.k.a. Giles from Buffy, and Congressman Will from Dominion, dog. That was pretty dope.
Yeah.
Yo, that the Dominion interviews are my favorite, just because that show is also fucking cool. And I know we're going to talk about that later, but that show was so good. And then I got to talk to them, too. It was awesome, man. That's the cool thing about – that's why I would love for you all and others to go as press. So like, not even just the big San Diego Comic-Con, but the smaller ones, too. These interviews are cool. We get to sit down with some of your favorite people, you know, and talk to them about, you know, the stuff they love to do. And when you do these roundtable interviews, if the talent shows up, they want to be there. Like, we did Sharknado 2. I think Tara Reid didn't show up. Well, she didn't want to do it. So if they show up, they want to talk about their stuff, so it doesn't feel like it's a burden to them. And it's interesting to have a conversation with them then. I talked to – like, everybody from the Dominion was cool. They're like one big happy family, and they were so cool talking to them. I talked to the Sharknado 2 people. Like, and we can say whatever we want about what Vivica A. Fox has done to her face. She's a really cool person, though, you know? She was really cool during her interviews. And then I got to talk to some of the composers from like Guardians of the Galaxy, the Avengers: Age of Ultron. You know, the guy Blake Neely. He does Flash. He's doing Flash and Arrow. So we got to talk to them about what they're doing there. It's just all really cool.
Yo, it's kind of — I feel bad for the composers for Guardians of the Galaxy, because they actually composed some pretty good damn original music.
Yes, they did.
But everybody's just going for that soundtrack, man. Like,
right.
That soundtrack is of the 70s songs is so overwhelming that most people are only listening to that. I actually went on Spotify and listened to the Guardians of the Galaxy, like, official soundtrack, which, you know, it's all, like, titled after scenes in the movie where it's like, "Don't touch my Walkman" and stuff.
Right.
But then you listen to the music and you're like, yo, they composed the shit out of this.
Yeah.
And the only thing people are going to remember is that, hooked on a feeling.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Like, based it a hell of — and he's actually worked with James Gunn before. It's like his third or fourth movie he's worked with James Gunn before on. So he's worked with him before. And then a guy, Brian Tyler, he's done Iron Man 3, Thor 2, and he's doing Age of Ultron. I mean, yeah, they're really good. And, the one I like too is talking to Neely about Flash and Arrow, because I asked him, I was like, how are you going to keep those two characters different? Because they're so, like, when you see the Flash pilot, you'll get it. They're so different how they're treating these characters. And so he was like, yeah, you know, it's really hard. You know, I've been doing Oliver Queen for so long, I think I'm good. But he was like, if you watch the pilot for Flash, you'll see when I kind of start blending the two themes together. And he was like, it's actually really cool to put those two themes together, because those characters are going to cross paths with each other throughout their seasons. So he was like, yeah, so I kind of blend the two together sometimes. It's really fun to do. So, yeah, man, it's really cool talking to these, because they really love their work. They're just like — we like talking about podcasting. They like acting. They like making music. They like doing their work. So to talk to them and be, you know, non-confrontational, they love talking about it. So it's great, you know. Anthony Head, we went overboard with him. Like, he talked for 10 minutes. I don't know if you can see in the video, but the person that's with them is trying to get him to move on to the next person, because for like 3 minutes. It was only supposed to be a 7-minute interview. We got him for 10 minutes, because every time she was trying to tell him last question, he would just keep going and going and going, because it just — he liked talking about it, you know?
Yeah, that's dope, man, because I like, as soon as you show me his picture on Twitter, I came up with probably like fucking 10 questions, you know, off the top of my head. I was just like, well, did he say, what about — did you ask him, like, the playing Buffy, and remember when he was the Ripper? Oh, wait. But yeah, I totally would have nerded out at that press conference.
Yeah, next time I'm going to definitely make sure. I wasn't sure how — I didn't want to do it this time, because I wasn't sure how — it was my first time going to San Diego. I wasn't sure how they would act. But next time I'm definitely going to, like, ask people for possible questions that you might want to ask some of these people, because I think that'll make it even better. So yeah, man, it's fun.
No doubt, man. All right, let's do what we do, man. You know, we always start off every show the same way. We talk about what we've been watching or reading or what video games we've been playing and stuff. So I guess I'll start with you, Karen. What have you been watching, reading, or playing?
I've been reading The Walking Dead. I've been still reading on Why the Last Man, which is actually really, really good. And
are you all caught up on The Walking Dead? Or
not? No, I'm about 2-3 behind all the ones.
I'm behind on that myself.
Okay, yeah, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but they do a time jump.
Oh, no, I haven't got that far yet.
Okay, yeah, they do a time jump that is dope as shit. Like, it's just one of those times where you just like... Oh yeah, you could do that. Like this is like you don't actually need to tell the story like, you know, straightforward. Like you could be like, and a year later this shit happened. So yeah, it was really cool, man. Cause you know, the whole ordeal that they're going through with what is it, Neville or something is his name? Is intense. So yeah, it's so intense that you know there's gonna be long term repercussions from all the stuff they're going through. So, yeah, it's like when they have the conclusion of that, they really can't just keep going day to day because everyone is so fucked up. You almost had, because I remember when I finished that arc and I was like, well, damn, what the fuck do they do next? You know, and then you come back and it's like, 2 years later, this was happening. I was like, okay, that's cool. So, yeah, that's a really good book. It's finishing strong. What else, Karen?
Yes, and with The Walking Dead, it's going to be interesting to see how they follow and if they do decide to bring Neville into the Walking Dead world on AMC, like who would they pick in the character arc and, you know, how would they implement him or put him in it? So that right there would be interesting. Like, they're far, far away
from
that.
How you can even do him on AMC because his language is so foul.
Right, and he's a character where you be like, God damn. Like,
yeah, he says fucking every, like, other word. I really couldn't imagine, like, because people got mad at AMC because they ended the season with Rick telling everybody in the... train car, he goes, well, they don't know that they're fucking with the wrong people. They wanted him to say fucking, and he said messing, and everybody was like, oh, see, man, that's bullshit. No,
I was like, y'all do know this is AMC, right?
So, but imagine if it was Neville, people would really be mad. Like, I can't believe that he's not saying fucking every other word. What are they doing?
I am nowhere near where you guys are in Walking Dead because I got so much other stuff to catch up on.
Yeah,
but. The time jump thing would actually be pretty smart for the TV show because little Carl is he's not gonna be little, yo.
No,
dog. It feels like I don't know how they're doing this. I don't even know how they do this on TV in general, but it feels like every time we check in to a new season of the Walking Dead TV show, that kid is aged like 4 years.
Like
it's the same kid,
right? Wait, and the thing about it is, if you've seen him outside of the show,
yeah,
he looks older, yo. Like,
really?
They're gonna have to start shaving him soon, yo.
Jesus, maybe that's the key. Maybe he's been older all this time, and they've been aging him down.
Yeah,
because like, dude, I remember when it first started, when it was just Laurie and Shane and those guys by the campfire,
little kid.
Yeah, with the trailer park little area, and I remember being like, damn, this little kid's gonna get fucked up. And then, you know, you fast forward like two seasons, you're like, yo, he think he a grown ass man, dog.
And then the last season, you're like, he is a grown ass man.
Right.
Yeah, he was killing the shit out of zombies and people. He was amazing. But yeah, time jump would be cool if they could pull that off, man.
It would make more sense because he probably going through like an age spurt, so all of a sudden he'll come back with a beard and shit.
And there's really no other little kids left on the show, so it's not like you have to worry about those kids fitting in.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
What else, Karen?
Let me see. That and Why the Last Man. I've been enjoying that. I've been watching The Strain. Really, really, really. That has been becoming one of my favorite summer shows.
Mm-hmm.
That old man is a beast. And I think they said it's like a book and it's like three parts to it. I don't give a fuck. I've enjoying the old man standoffs they've been having. I've been enjoying the old man's strength and shit like that. So it's gonna be interesting to see where they take that series. I really been looking forward to Sunday night. I just skip True Blood and come in right when True Blood ends.
Yeah.
And so I've been really having a blast with that.
Yeah, yeah. The Strain is definitely one of the best shows on TV right now. Mm-hmm. Very impressed, man. Didn't see that coming.
Me either.
I almost did not watch The Strain because I don't know if everybody remembers, but when it was when they were showing previews, first they were just showing previews of like the diseases and right. shit, and they would be like, "Look at this
scary."
Yeah, look at this guy's eye. It wasn't even about being scary. Most TV shows and movies that are just about like contagious viruses that are killing everybody are boring. So true. I don't watch them because nothing's happening. It's just a bunch of people dying. But this joint, man, like the last preview before the day before it aired was like a big ass Dracula creature in a cape that rose off the ground and jumped on a dude's head and ate him. And I was like, okay, now that I'm willing to watch. So I'm glad I watched it, man, because it's way more of that kind of shit than it was of, you know, the disease part is almost like inconsequential, you know, like
true.
You don't spend a lot of time studying the disease. It's way more about like, are these vampire creatures going to kill everybody? How are they doing it? You know, also that company that they run is probably one of the most evil companies
ever to exist
since like, you know, since like. The people that own cigarette companies, you know.
God, they're so like the entire. They're not even trying to hide it. How like their name Stoneheart Group. I mean, it's just
yeah.
this show is clear. I called it in my last review. It's one that's got to be the curious white man genre of films because like everything involving this is just white people being evil and letting white people get away with shit because they didn't call the cops. Like, yeah,
right.
They got attacked by this vampire with this, you know, the captain who got turned into a vampire-like creature. And the first thing in their mind was to not call the police, but to dissect it and have Samwise from Lord of the Rings fucking YouTube that shit or record it for later. It's like,
I gotta see this now. Yeah, I really gotta see this because this sounds like a no snitching campaign for white people.
It's yeah.
Dog, it really, yo, yeah. It really is. That is a perfect description. Remember the wife who her husband was turned into one of the monsters, and there's a scene where like the whole time you're watching, you're like, run, bitch, get the fuck out of there. It's getting, you know, this motherfucker's gonna eat you, and her neighbor comes over. And the neighbor's a dick.
Being all sassy.
She fed him to her husband.
Yes, she did.
And it was like, yo, she really not gonna call the cops.
Well, dude, first of all, you forgot the 30 seconds she stood there and didn't run when her husband had chained himself up. Her husband knew she was gonna be so stupid that he chained himself up because he knew his wife would come back and not do the right thing.
Amazing. It really is amazing.
White people are amazing on this show. It's all horror films. Like, people always complain about not enough black people representation in Hollywood, and I know we'll probably get into that a little bit later, but when it comes to horror films, I am totally okay with it. Because, like, you cannot have a good horror film with black people because we act totally different.
Yeah.
Like,
we don't trust. We don't trust off the top. Exactly. We already have that.
Yo, even the other minority on there, Gus, he had the most real fucking moment on there.
Yes.
As soon as that box moved, this motherfucker ran.
Yes, he did. I didn't even have time because I was live tweeting it. I didn't even have time to tweet run. Like, he was already running.
Yes, because that was missing.
That motherfucker seen that box move and was like, I don't know what the fuck these white boys got me doing.
I got paid and I'm out.
But I just wanted my money anyway and got the fuck out of there, dog. Yes. It was so real.
It was like, and that's real. That's what would happen. That's why you don't see a lot of black people, because we always be on some, nah, I don't make no fucking sense, man. I ain't doing this shit, man. Nah.
Yeah.
That should be like the motto, just like black people. Nah. Just like, that's it.
Yeah. There's a moment too, there's another trope in this joint that I love, which is, Abraham, who is the old, like, vampire hunter dude who's been through all the shit before, but he seems like he's too old now to really, like, keep up, like, but he's been fighting vampires his whole life. I love the trope of, like, we're not gonna listen to this dude. I love that shit, man. Like, when he showed up and he's like, listen, man. I know what y'all think this is, But what's about to happen is these motherfuckers about to get up. They got to eat everybody. They got to spread the disease. And the only way to stop them is to cut off their heads and kill them. And everybody's like, get this old man out of my sight. What's wrong with him? Lock him up, you know, and all this shit. And then, like, after they got attacked, they were like, we need to talk to that old man.
but that's the great thing about it. They still don't listen to him. Because he shows up to save him. It's like, you got to cough the head. Chick's like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Dog, that chick. Yo, that chick is so good because she was like, she didn't, if you notice, she never said she didn't believe him.
Right.
She just wished there was another way other than killing. And Abraham was so fucking dismissive. He just came and was like, this is the only way. So, that bitch can go. Is everybody ready to, kill right. these things or what? Like,
he said it's not for everybody.
Yes, he said, come back when you ready.
He said it is not, he said killing is not for everybody and let her go, dog. He was not, everybody was gonna debate her and shit. He was like, nope. She can go.
I don't know what you're doing, but I'm gonna kill me some of these vampires.
Cause I ain't trying to die, bitch.
Yo, that dude is so good, man. He's
a Holocaust survivor, yo.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh God, yes.
And he's too old to stick around, so I'm assuming something bad gonna happen to him eventually. And someone's gonna have to take his place. I hope Gus becomes his apprentice. Mm-hmm. Somebody need to become his apprentice because
No, the Vitaly dude, yo.
Oh yeah, the Russian dude. Somebody gotta become his apprentice, dog, because that his knowledge is too good to just disappear.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Him and the vampires have such history. Like that conversation between Abraham and what is that dude? Ike Hurst or something.
Old man standoff. It was beautiful.
When they had that conversation in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And he started taunting him and shit like, so I bet you still keep that heart in the jar, that whoever we killed, like his loved one and shit. And he was looking like he was getting mad. And then he says, he was like, yeah, well, it's just like when I killed that dude that you fuck with. And my man, the super strong vampire old dude put his finger to that fucking prison glass.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have broke it. Like you just heard the glass cracking like, motherfucker, I really wish these cameras wasn't here. I would fuck you up.
Oh, man. Yeah, that show was so good, yo.
Yeah, and then he went on put their face together like Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah, that's Ike Horse. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what's happening here?
Dog, it's so good. Hey, man, if you're not on it, I think...
I'm about to be, man. I'm actually saving the Hulu right now.
Yeah, I think FX has an on-demand. Hulu has it. And I think if you have on-demand on FX, I want to say it goes back 5 episodes, so you can still catch all of it. And I highly recommend. I couldn't recommend The Strain more. Like it's just so fun.
I'm glad I started watching it because, like I said, I'm a punk, so I was about to tap out because the previews just looked scary. I was like, oh shit, that looks scary. I'm out.
Yeah. Anything else you're watching, Karen? Before we move on.
I think that's it. I know what I've seen. We're probably gonna talk about it. Or have talked about it. Guardian of the Galaxy. And we seen Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles last night.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We did see both of those movies. We need to review them. Guardians of the Galaxy is great.
Yes, it is.
Honestly, I don't know how, like, I know there's, like, 1% of fans and, like, 4% of critics who don't like it, but I'm acceptable with that.
I'm supposed to see that Monday, so I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard nothing but great stuff, and, like, I get this mean hookup with a friend of mine, so we're supposed to see it. Okay. In Georgetown, and it's just this giant big ass theater. Usually we have the theater to ourselves.
Oh, you'll enjoy it.
You're gonna love it. You're gonna love it, man. Like,
it's very good.
It's the bigger the screen, if you can get 3D, if you can get IMAX, like all that shit for this film.
It's worth it.
It's totally worth it. This is what movies are about. Like sometimes every once in a while you leave a theater and you just go, that's what the fuck a movie is supposed to be. And this is one of those times, man. So,
you know, I always say to people that are saying, you know, the 1% and 4% of critics who were trying to say that it's not good. And I'm like, name me a better space epic film.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the only ones that can come close are the Star Trek movies by J.J. Abrams. Mm. And that's only for people who really, I mean, if you don't like Star Trek, then I can see why you put this one above those.
Yeah.
That's it. There's nothing else. I mean, there's nothing better. You can't name anything better. Like, if you're a Star Wars fan and try to tell me that Guardians of the Galaxy sucks, I'm going to call you an asshole and say you know nothing but you're talking about because this film's a complete package.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, this is my new standard of, like, spacefaring adventure. Like, I need you to be at this level of above from now on, because that shit ruined me for other space movies.
Yeah.
Jupiter. I see why Jupiter Ascending might have moved itself to 2015. They might have seen an early copy of Guardians of the Galaxy and said, "Nope."
Right.
And to me, I think that this has set the standard high. So I'm looking at everybody else going, y'all got to at least meet this standard or I'm not going to take you seriously.
Yeah. And then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was exactly what you think it was.
Yes. And I had a good time.
Yeah.
I had a good time. Yeah, shit was better than the original ones. I give you that much, but it was still corny. There was no Vanilla Ice or no shit like that, but I had a blast.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, because you guys see it 2D or 3D?
2D.
Oh, thank. Okay.
Good. Oh, wait, no. We saw it 3D.
Yeah,
oh,
you did see it in 3D.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah. But we didn't like. I don't think it's the kind of movie. You know what it is, dog? Like, I will give it credit for this. It is the exact kind of comic book movie I would take a kid to see. Like, there's no cussing. There's no real vulgar references. It makes about as much sense as the cartoon when we grew up watching
it.
Like, they didn't try to cater to older fans at all. Like, it was
you know what it does that was great for kids? People technically die, but they don't really.
Right. Right.
Like, them Foot Clan motherfuckers were getting fucked up.
Right.
Like, they were dying, but they shot it in such a way that you would never think that they were dying.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of, like, you know, a motherfucker swings swords at four people, and they just show the four people get, quote-unquote, knocked out.
But, yeah, they go down.
Yeah, there's no blood, no...
So did they just cut to somebody else? And like, okay, he swings a sword and just, like, cut to, like, Donatello instead hitting somebody in the head.
Yeah, it's like that.
So these dudes are obviously dead, but we can't really show...
Yeah, it's a lot of quick cuts. And and the thing is, these Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are not adorable at all.
No, they're not.
Like, these some big-ass niggas, dog. Like, they would be playing high school football and, like, number one college recruits in any sports if they
yes,
were
they would.
Like, for real, dog. Like, they, those motherfuckers were so big that it was scary when they showed up. You like, yo, man, I don't think I would fuck with these dudes. Unlike the first movies where they were kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this shit, they weren't cute at all, man. Like, Raph looked like an angry big ass nigga, dog.
Yeah, he was bigger than everybody else almost too.
He was bigger than everybody else. Well, that was actually another cool thing. They varied the sizes and the shells and shit like that. Which is something I'm surprised nobody else is taking the time out to do other than in the comic books. But it was just like, you know, them niggas was big as shit. They was intimidating and scary.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there was some scenes where I actually did laugh at the corny shit they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the kids and stuff would laugh at, like, you know, there's a scene in the elevator where they start beatboxing and dancing.
Probably one of the best scenes in the movie.
Yeah. And it's like on the way up to the major fight. And they were like, they had been joking about making a mixtape and rapping the whole time. And so it was like, you had this scene where Mikey is making these, you know, rap noises and shit. And, like, that was cute. And I think that was the moment I kind of forgave the film, because I was just like, oh, you know what? Sometimes I forget I'm an adult. Like, this shit is a stupid-ass concept that probably never should get a live-action movie made off of it, considering what other options we have. You know, like, Marvel's actually trying to make good movies.
Mm-hmm.
So we should probably just, you know, so I relaxed right then. And I was like, I was able to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Also, we got to come to terms with that. They'll never make the original comic. Like, they'll never do that. It's too raw.
That is the thing. Yeah. Me and Romaine talked about it on Facebook, man. And that was the thing I had to realize, because it's funny talking to people who are fans of the new version of the Turtles. And by new, I mean all the way from like 1989, whenever they got their first cartoon.
Yeah, the Playmates joint.
Like, I haven't really liked the Turtles even from then, because I was used to the Eastman and Laird. Like, these niggas would stick a sword through a person's, like, you know, chest.
Yep.
And that would
throwing people into freaking fans and chopping heads off. And
It was in black and white, and like, the shit was real, dog. Like, it was emotional. Like, and then they had like adventures in like, on other planets and shit, like, and fought in a gladiator arena and like, this, they weren't the adorable pizza eating street urchins that they got painted as a cartoon. So I've been continually disappointed with the franchise, like, for I guess almost 20 years now. And then last night was the first time where I was just like, you know what? Maybe it's me. Fuck it. This is what it is now.
People protest because they basically couldn't take kids to see that. Like, it would be rated R and nobody would be able to see it but adults.
But I would be happy.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck them.
Like, well, you know what it is, man? Yeah. I would have been okay with this film if they had tried. Like, I'd actually been okay with it if Michael Bay had actually directed it.
Right.
Because you can tell Michael Bay actually just did nothing but let them use his production company.
That's all.
And he never showed up.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, as much as I talk shit about the Transformer movies, they at least have, I don't want to say a good script, but it has a beginning, middle, and end. This script was one of the worst scripts I've ever seen in my fucking life.
You can tell they left a lot of stuff on the cutting room floor.
Or I think they changed. I think they rewrote it. I think they started writing it one way, and then they rewrote it, and they didn't try to. Because there's just so many things that happen, you're just like, but wait, that's not what you said.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The cutting room floor is where they were like, well, we did film this scene to explain this, but let's just throw a different scene in there and say this. And you're like, but earlier you said, like, it's in the same movie that you violated the rules of the movie you created. Like, it's not like when you do a sequel and you're like, oh, so y'all decided not to use that anymore. This was like shit that they said earlier, and they were just like, yeah, we're done with that now. Although they did make two jokes that were funny. One, when they made the joke about the mutagen, they said, we were going to use rabbits. How stupid is that? And for people that read the comic book, they were talking about Usagi Yojimbo. I was like, oh man. And then the other joke they made was they said something about them being aliens, and then fucking Megan Fox looks directly at the camera and was like, aliens, that's just stupid. I was like, that was a huge controversy last year when they brought when Michael Bay brought up them being aliens. So, but yeah, it's not a good movie, but you know, I just watched it and it was short and didn't complain.
And I know for me, the thing about two things. One, going back to Guardians of the Galaxy, it is a movie that you guys really actually need to see in the theater. I hate when people be like, I didn't like a certain movie, and I be like, did you see it on a 1,000-inch screen? Nah, I seen it on my 42-inch. That's the fuck why. You do not get the same type of engagement into the movie because you're not seeing it the way it was meant to be shot.
Yeah.
And also, the second thing is that I know I'm a big-ass kid because they showed that motherfucking SpongeBob SquarePants. I looked at Roger like, a nigga, we will be seeing this bullshit.
Yeah,
yes.
The preview for SpongeBob in 3D.
Yeah, because we seen the first one in the movie theaters. I love me some SpongeBob.
Whoopi Goldberg was in this movie. Someone just said in the chat. I forgot about that.
There's so much I try to forget about this movie. I just, you know, I'm actually, I don't want to review movies like this anymore, or I'm going to make a new scale for them. Because it's just pointless. Like, I did a big sigh when I did my review. I was like, it's not good, but I don't want to shit on it. You know, it's just like, cause I knew they went for kids, and they're just like, you know, they went for kids, and I mean,
yeah, I feel like there should be like a forgiveness scale,
right,
for some of these, like, you know, like you do the score, and then you go, but I'm adding 3 forgiveness points because you know, obviously, the thing is. For this movie, probably more than any other movie recently about nerd shit, I could see a child that went to this movie loving it the way I love the first Ninja Turtles movie.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Because when I go back and watch that shit as an adult, I'm like, none of this made sense. Like, this is not, like, there's parts in this movie where they're just like sciencing. You know what I mean? Like, there's no actual logic to the science.
Oh,
they're just, all they do is say what they're doing. They're like, yeah, we'll just extract it from their blood and we'll save the city. And you're like, yeah, okay. Like, y'all literally didn't know these motherfuckers existed 5 minutes ago. How could you already have perfected a process that would extract the mutagen from their blood? And why would it save the city? You know what? Who cares?
Dude, I have to point this out. But they did that one joint in the movie where they had to give them adrenaline, and they had a big-ass adrenaline button.
Nigga. Yes. Such a size.
Like, that was one of them joints, like, in in Spider-Man 2, where Doc Ock had them bags of money with the money pot on them.
Yes.
It's just like, in case you didn't know, this button is for adrenaline. Yeah. It's just like, that's when you realize, it's like, this is not...
Nigga, it wasn't just, hold up, it wasn't just, because they were like, we need adrenaline. It wasn't just that it was an adrenaline button. they had an adjustable adrenaline dial.
Yes, they did.
Well, you could just go, let me just put this up to 10. Even though that scene was funny as shit when they got out when the, on the adrenaline.
Yeah, because that was so hype.
But yeah, but it's such a kids movie, dog. It's 100% kids movie, man.
Man, that makes you hate, like, just why did I learn anything? I can't enjoy anything now. I can't enjoy the simple things of just pushing a button and things and I win.
Right.
And that's it.
Right, as an adult, it's like, and that, the reason I was okay is because, like, I knew that that was my adult mind going, that's impossible.
Right.
And I know that if I was a kid watching this, because a lot of people don't know, they actually have a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series that's on Nickelodeon for the last 2 or 3 years now.
Yes.
So a lot of the people that are coming to see this are actually those kids.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. So and that's a completely different.
Yeah, this isn't like Marvel or Guardians of God where they're like, yo, there's a 33-year-old dude who's been reading comic books his whole life. Like, they're like, fuck that. Because if you think about it, Marvel hasn't successfully created any new cartoons. Like, when's the last time, I mean, it's sad because I think they're wasting money, but when's the last time they had a good Marvel cartoon, man? Like, even whether it was...
DC been whooping them in that area.
Yeah, whether it was the series or if it was, or if you just want to go by, like, standalone comic book movies... that are cartoons. They don't have very good animation. I think the last one I really liked,
Spider-Man, I believe, was the most recent one I know about. And they try to make him too much like Deadpool, which goes in that. Like a young Deadpool is awful.
Yeah, the best episode of Ultimate Spider-Man has Deadpool in it. Because and then I actually stopped watching after that because I realized my problem with the show. He's Deadpool.
Yeah.
It was way better with Deadpool doing his thing. I was like, yo, I would watch this. Like, every week I would tune in for this. But when it was just Ultimate Spider-Man doing Deadpool impersonation, I was like, nah. And then they had a good Avengers one, like, 2 years ago, and they canceled
Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Yeah, yes. They canceled it. Yeah. Like, that joint was good. Really good.
That shit was super good.
And then they, like, they canceled it because they said, you know, it's too adult. Because I actually read an article about it, and they said the new one that they did... It was the reason that it would like reset every week, then they would have like a whole issue about like Hawkeye fighting a Hulk over like the last pickle in the refrigerator. And I'm not joking, that really happened. they said that that was because kids, they thought kids would find it more funny, and you know, now they're about to cancel that shit too. Like,
right.
Marvel doesn't know how to do this kind of shit.
They don't. And, but let's be real though. Yeah. I mean, even as a kid, when you watch certain things, And you, it was too kiddy even for you, too stupid for you as a kid. You're just like, why am I gonna, this is so corny. I think these like writers need to respect that these kids are not only impressionable, but they're not as dumb as we make them out to be.
Right.
You know, you still have to give them a good story. We know bullshit when we see it, which is why we're so jaded now.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
They have smartphones. Yep. They have the internet. They have access to these other things. Not to mention, I'm sure that these kids, these are the same kids that will go see The Dark Knight. Like these aren't, like, they're not just kiddie ass kids anymore. And I do think they make mistakes when they got rid of Young Justice. Like, right. I thought that was a mistake. And I tried to, I'm not gonna front, I tried to hate that new Teen Titans show. Teen Titans Go is the name of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It rubbed on me.
It's actually good. It's not fucking with Young Justice at all.
No.
But it's silly, and you will laugh, and that's how they get you. But I guarantee you that, like, there was room for that and Young Justice. They didn't need to cancel one of them.
Yeah, you have to give them at least a buffet of different things to try in the comic book world. They're not stupid, you know what I mean? They're really not. And they're more jaded... I think younger. They get more jaded younger than us.
Yep.
Or earlier than us.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're jaded by the time they're like 10. They're like, I'm not going to play with that. That's stupid. Mm-hmm. And they're already there once they hit the double digits.
Yeah.
You know, like, they haven't even hit the puberty where they can really start getting mad at stuff.
Like, you know, the crazy thing about it is, like, as much as people are saying that, you know, Guardians is not going to beat Turtles this weekend, which I never thought it would anyway in the second week, Guardians is going to end up with a bigger box office than Turtles. So it's just like, to me, I don't understand the idea of not making the better film. Like, if you make a better film for Turtles, you'll get more money. So it's like they make the idea to go ahead and dumb it down and make it for kids, but it's like, it's not going to make as much money if you had just made it good, and then you would have gotten the kids, and you would have gotten the adults. So it just seems like an all-around dumb decision to me. I don't get it, you know?
Yeah, that, and I also think that when it comes to cartoons, we still have a lot of older people that run a lot of, like, the animation and anime type shit. And a lot of them still think of cartoons as your Tom and Jerry and your Bugs Bunny. And all jokes aside, like, they really think that that's how American kids do cartoons. And a lot of adults, grown-ass adults, think that. That's why a lot of them are shocked and surprised when they realize that most of the highest-rated kids' cartoons are very violent, very dark, have deep storylines, deep plots.
I mean, even the thing is, even what we grew up with was extremely deep if you think about the concepts they were trying to, like, you know, the fucking G.I. Joe would have 7-episode arcs about the Weather Dominator, which was a satellite that could control and manipulate the weather in different regions of the world, and they were going to use, and Cobra was going to use that to blackmail governments. Like, that's a pretty deep thing to tell some kid. So it is weird that they keep shying away from these stories. Like, those are the stories that people remember, the deep ones. And it's, and like I said, Marvel's failed at this. Another thing they tried to do the last 2 years was on G4, they had like an anime version of Wolverine and Iron Man.
Oh, those were
And they were just so bad.
They were terrible.
Oh my god, they were so. They made more of them. Didn't they make Iron Man as well?
I said Wolverine and Iron Man. They also had an X-Men one too.
Oh, they were terrible.
Yeah, they were really badly done. And thing is, they weren't good for an anime, and they weren't good for an American cartoon. So you just got a mix up of a boring ass like mashup that. Like, I remember I watched the Wolverine one, and I think they got, like, 2 episodes in, and he fought probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite, bad guy, Omega Red. And that fight lasted 2 to 3 minutes, dog, and I was pissed. Like, I was so mad, dude. Like, I was like, finally, we got somebody that respects Omega Red, and oh, that's it? That's okay. All right, well, maybe next time. So, yeah, man, it's hopefully Marvel takes it seriously. But anyway, I said all that. It's a huge tangent, but I said all that to be like this. The reason that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie is not catering to adults is because they've successfully made the cartoon appeal to kids for the last X amount of generations without ever having to mature it. So that's why the movie doesn't have to mature, as opposed to Marvel, who has failed at so many cartoons. They had to just be like, yo, we need to make our movies for adults, because apparently we keep fucking up. When we keep trying to make this shit for kids, nobody's watching it. So I think that's the difference, man. They don't, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles don't need this movie to hit.
Right. You're right.
Do you think, like, Disney bought them? Do you think that might make a difference to why a lot of their shit been going through it? Because Disney is basically all kids, everything.
You mean for what? Marvel, Disney owns Marvel, too.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Why it's like that? Because Disney is all children, everything. Disney don't really make adult content things.
Oh, are you talking about for the cartoon? Because see, the movies, I don't worry about, because Marvel has creative control.
Right.
So far. And they've consistently made the movies for adults. For the cartoon side, yeah, that's probably what it is. Like, I feel like Disney's trying to Disney-fy up the cartoons and take all the teeth out of it. And I don't know how many times they got to fail at these cartoons, but I read an interesting thing by the guy who created Ben 10. I think it's called Man of Action is the name he goes by for some reason. And he was saying that Ben 10 was a really impressive, like, thing to work on, because they got it to last for so many years, and they rebranded it like every 2 years
they let the kid grow up in the show.
Exactly.
I loved that concept so much. Yes. I remember watching that show. I was already into high school when that show came out, like late high school. And I mean, my day job outside all the comedy and all that stuff is, like, I'm an artist. I do animation, I do video, I do all that stuff. So, like, that was the stuff I would watch to see what was the trends, what was going on, how would you animate, how would you tell stories. And Ben 10, with his, when the grand, I don't know how, what I can spoil here.
No, go ahead.
The grandfather died?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Yes. That, I sat there and was just in tears. Yep. Like, this dude was there from jump. Hey, you know, he was the Uncle Ben that didn't die.
Yep.
Right.
And then when he finally was killed, I was like, of course they're going to bring him back. They're not going to not.
Right.
And then when they didn't, and I was the next season started, and it changed the name to from Benton to
Ben Universe.
Like Ben Universe.
Yeah,
or something
they changed
like that.
It like this is like the third or fourth version of it.
Yeah. Oh and, man.
Like that, I respect that. I respect, especially in just American media,
right?
Where they either can mature the character, or they end it, or they end the story and say, "This is the story. That's yep. it." Yeah, respect that.
You know who else did a great job with that over the years, man? The Clone Wars,
yes.
Star Wars: The Clone Wars, the animated yeah. joint. Because the first two seasons are kiddie as shit. Like I remember being like, "I think I'm gonna check out on this." Then it's just not enough for me. Like, it doesn't fit in this universe. And then right around that time, they start killing people. And you're like, wait a minute, dog. That dude just stuck a lightsaber through a human. Like that, I know that that's against some type of code. And they would do stuff like show a decapitation by, like, showing the sword swinging at someone's neck. Then they cut away to the floor, and they show the head hit the floor. And you're like, yo, he just decapitated that dude. Okay, I'm in. But it took like three seasons before they did that, because you got to let the kids grow up. You can't just be like, hey, 8-year-old, here's a fucking like triple decapitation and shit.
I don't like to throw race into this yeah. so soon, but every once in a while, whenever we would tell stories in like, again, what's my culture, Jamaican culture, mm-hmm. death wasn't something that was foreign.
Right.
Death is something that's pretty normal. And a lot of kids, especially black kids, where that you can just walk the street and you're done, mm-hmm. you know? And that was a reality. So death wasn't anything new to us or at a very young age. So, you know, if when a character died in a movie, and I was like, I remember seeing my first, you know, funeral when I was like four years old. So character dying in a movie when I was like 9, 10 wasn't anything. It was sad, but like I understood death right. happens.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now you have, you know, when you try to make these cartoons that approach death in a way where it's, you know, normal, mm-hmm. not normal, but like death happens and you're going to lose. Sometimes you lose. And then all of a sudden there's a bunch of like middle class white moms that are just like, I can't have my son see this.
Right.
Right. And you're like, but people die, dog.
Yeah. Like, yo, my cousin just got shot yesterday. If I could see the real thing, the cartoon version is just not gonna faze me.
Yeah, I remember when cartoons used to have the or the comic books used to have the code of morality.
Yep.
And certain shit you weren't supposed to do and say, and especially for the cartoons, and it would always be like, "I will destroy the turtles," or "I'm gonna eat turtle soup." But it's like, if you think about this, the steps it takes to eat turtle soup, dog, that's way, like, you should just say you were going to kill them.
Well, that's why I love watching Robot Chicken, because yeah. they always have the running gags with the Smurfs.
Yes.
And how he's always talking about that shit. And it's just like, this motherfucker wants to murder them, yo. He wants right. to murder them and eat them. That's a weird thing. My mom, you know, we're completely off topic now, but yeah. my mom would come up all the time when I'm playing video games. Like, it'd be something simple like Mario Brothers or something. You know, some animated game, and I'm a smart kid, and I'd be like, "Oh man, I just died." She's like, no, you are eliminated. Do not say you died. I'm just like, "Mom, it's a video game."
Right.
Like, calm the fuck down. It's like, it's not desensitizing me. I get the idea, but it's like, I'm smart to realize it's a fucking video game.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
like,
not gonna walk out the house and jump off a cliff and go, "Oh, I'm gonna respawn."
Yeah. Right.
I think my favorite thing about that Smurf example is that, like, the alternative from the original version was he wanted to turn Smurfs into gold.
Oh, yeah.
Right. What? I remember that, yes.
Yes, I do remember shit. That.
And, like, this is clearly my animation history class, yeah. part of me speaking, because, you know, I just want to ruin everyone's childhood right now. And, like, Gargamel was supposed to be based off the original European version was, I'm quoting this, please don't, yeah. this is not me saying this, but he is supposed to be the very greedy, dirty Jew.
Oh my God.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah. I remember when we talked about this.
That makes sense, because his cat is named like Azrael, and he's real close to Israel.
Typical cartoon drawn Jew of like the propaganda.
Yeah, the mm-hmm. huge nose.
And the Smurfs were the good guys, and they were he wanted to turn them into gold.
Holy shit!
I didn't realize that I was an adult, that the Smurfs was not an American-made cartoon. Because all my life as a child, I've always thought it was an American-made cartoon. They was like, no, baby, this come from overseas somewhere that they've taken and translated into English and pushed it to American children. But they was like, this is not American-made. This was not done here. I was like, wow.
But, you know, that's actually the funny thing about some of those cartoons back then. Especially like the older ones, like the Looney Tune cartoons.
Oh,
it's weird. They're actually way more adult than people give them credit for. Like Bugs Bunny and them, like there was a lot of propaganda, especially during when the cartoons are in the wartime.
Yeah.
With the Nazis and stuff like that. Like there's a lot of like adult stuff that happens.
Cross dressing.
Right. Racism. Yeah, so when you look at it now and you look at what they're doing with cartoons, you're like, hey, listen, you assholes grew up with some very racy cartoons growing up.
So yeah, the fox. Hell?
Right. Now you want to take away our shit.
The crows from Dumbo?
Nigga, what? That's the most racist shit ever. The crows from Dumbo, man. I remember being a kid and seeing the crows from Dumbo and looking at my dad like, this is racist, right? Like, I don't think this supposed to, pretty sure they're not supposed to be talking like this. Let me see if I can find a video of them niggas, them niggas was
man, if I could just get a clip of that somewhere and just have it be my ringtone. Just for a little bit, just to make everybody uncomfortable on the train.
Yeah, dog.
I would just want to, just to get reactions.
Like, all them niggas talk like, all of them talk like old black men from the South and shit.
Yeah. Or they got that really, Elmer Fudd when he was in the blackface.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. It was that. He was what was it? I Wish I Wasn't Dixie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were gonna kill Bugs Bunny. They had him on the shooting range, and he was like, "You got one request. I wish I wasn't Dixie. Hooray!" And then it cuts from that. Like the version they showed us, they would just cut it and put the that's all, folks. The full version, the last 2 minutes, was them in blackface singing the rest of the song.
Shit.
With Elmer Fudd and the rest of the Mounties and stuff like that, and I was like, "Oh,
yeah." I saw one where it was a clip of the cousin of Jerry that takes, Jerry the Mouse. He has that one cousin that takes Tom's whiskers and uses them on guitar strings.
Yes.
I saw one where he said the N word, dog. I was like, "What?" Like that shit had nothing to do with the scene. Like he was like, cause he had that thing where he was like he was stuttering shit.
Yes.
Like, he was like, nigger. I was like, what? Like who thought this was a good idea, man? That's just racist. Let me see if I can play this clip real quick.
Speedy Gonzalez.
Yes, they did the slowpoke.
Slowpoke?
Yes. First of all,
slowpoke Rodriguez.
Dog. That's the thing. Everybody thinks Speedy is racist. No. Slowpoke is a racist cartoon.
Oh, God.
Speedy was the revolutionary.
Yeah.
He was the one to really fear.
Right. My man Slowpoke was every stereotype that white people have propagated about Mexicans that is incorrect. He was lazy. He could barely talk. Yeah, like,
hater Speedy.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get to sleep, man. I was just a little tired.
You were just high and just sleeping, bat sombreros, just and he's trying to whip him up into shape. Like, come on, guys, we gotta revolt. The white man's coming to get us. Let's go. Oh, baby.
Yeah, oh man, that was my shit. Oh, all right, let me see if I can play this clip, man.
Turn it up.
Well, where's my feet?
Go ahead, wake him up, brother.
Yeah, find out what they're doing up here.
Yeah, and ask them what they want.
Okay, boys, leave it to me.
They sped it up for some reason, but yeah, that was how the crows talk.
Why they speed it up?
I don't know why they sped it up, Karen. What do you want me to do? You want me to ask them?
I wonder if you can find a song that they're singing.
Talking about the When I See an Elephant Fly song?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. I got that somewhere.
That joint.
Oh, When I See an Elephant Fly.
Yeah, I hope the audio's good on this joint. Let me see. But yeah, I saw Peanut stand, heard a rubber band.
Dumbo, the ninth wonder of the universe. The world's only flying elephant.
a dragonfly.
I see the house fly.
See, I seen all that too. I seen a peanut stand and heard a rubber band. I seen a needle that winked its eye. But I be done seeing about everything when I see an elephant fly.
What you say, boy?
I said when I see an elephant fly.
That's awesome.
I seen a front porch swing.
That's just awesome.
Heard a diamond ring.
Oh, my God.
I seen a polka dot railroad tie. But I be done seeing about everything.
Dog, and this is in the middle of a kids movie, like
right.
You already been watching this shit for like an hour, and then Disney's like, you know what, we ain't really got no racism in this yet, so let's go and put this in here for the folks.
Yo, can you imagine the theaters that had, like, you know, the white people, the black people in the back?
Oh,
just like,
yes.
Yo, are you serious? Am I really gonna
You brought your kid to this.
You brought your kids.
Yep.
And you just like, I can't do this. Because all the white people in front are just bobbing their heads, going like, yeah, see,
it's not even just the way they sound. I forgot the way they look, too.
Yep.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And they're shuffling. They're shuffling across the tree.
Right.
Like, even as a kid, black kids get their dreams crushed. You know? Anyway, man, I don't know how we even got on that. Who else did I ask? Chris, what have you been watching and stuff?
What I've been watching, Dominion. It just had a season finale, and, as absurd as the show's premise was, and as much as it was based off of a really, 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 really shitty movie, that show was actually really good. And I hope it comes back for a second season, because they act their asses off, and they wrote their asses off on that fucking show.
Yep, didn't see that coming. I think it was only, what, 8 episodes, maybe?
Yeah, 8 episodes. And that season finale was...
Yo, what?
Wow. And the great thing I love about it is they did that thing what I've been asking for them to do, which is they made it an hour and a half.
Yep.
I've been wanting them to bring back the hour and a half, 2-hour season finale for a while now,
mm-hmm.
because some shows need that. And
yes.
I'm so glad they did it with this one. And that season finale, if they don't get another season, it's just tragic.
I like that they're aware of, like, the show and how the characters look, because I remember, like, for the last probably 2 or 3 weeks that I've been watching that show, I've been like, yo, Michael the Angel, for a guy who's on the side of humanity, doesn't seem to have any tolerance for humanity. Like, he seems to be stomaching, like, all right, this is what I think I need to do. And when that motherfucker found out what he found out and was like, I'm killing everybody, that scene makes so much fucking sense. Like, I was like, oh, okay, this is how he feels. He doesn't really fuck with us. Like, he thinks we're pieces of shit as well.
I actually meant to ask Tom Wisdom that, because he was one of the guys also in the interview. I meant to ask him that, and I forgot to.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know, it feels like your character really doesn't fuck with humanity. So, and I meant to ask him, and I wish I had.
Yeah.
I know he would have, yeah, he really doesn't. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that, and then the cool thing about that show is I talked to the showrunner, Von Wilmont, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a big theme about fathers in this show. Like, you see it. Like, there's no way you can watch the show and not see that absentee fathers aren't a huge part of the show. So I asked him about that. He goes, yeah, I didn't realize that until after I wrote the pilot and started watching. He was like, yeah, I guess I'm working on my own issues. He was like, it's a big part of the show.
It is.
He was like, I had no intention of it being that big of a part of the
show. I mean, the premise is, if you think about it, the premise is that God left angels and humans to fend for themselves just out of the blue one day.
Mm-hmm.
And that is considered the father of humanity. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it makes sense that it trickles down into other storylines, and it pretty much is the basis of almost every single storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a good question you asked.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was pretty good. So, watching that, obviously, The Strand, I think I'm watching Defiance, which is good, but I'm working on the review for the last episode now. It's getting kind of crowded on that show.
Okay.
Like, it has I like Dominion because everybody's side stories kind of tie together. Defiance is working with it right now. Is everybody has their own little side stories, and they're all not tying together right now. So I'm hoping they bring it together. I mean, they have some really good characters on that show. But the last episode was just one of those things. They added another storyline in there. I'm like, okay, you guys are getting a little too crowded. You guys need to
you need to address and focus on some of these things at one time. Other than that, I think I'm probably going to be done with TV shows until the fall, because everything drops next month, so I'm going to try to take the rest of this month off, and, you know, with the shows we have left. I just want to see, what am I, I'm not playing anything right now. I got to play the Walking Dead.
Yeah, the latest episode. Chapter is out. I haven't started it yet either.
Right, I got to play that so we can do a play next week.
Dude, that's the only downside to this Xbox One ownership shit. I swear, I look at my Xbox 360 the way black Republicans look at the hood that they can't I'd be like, I don't even want to go back there, dog. Like, can't everything just be on this one box already? Because who gives a fuck?
I'm so there. And that's the problem. Like, I at least downloaded it onto my 360.
Me too.
But I just have, I'm like, oh, you mean I got to turn it on?
Right. I be looking at this shit like, I know we need to do the Playing Dead review for this game, but I still would rather fuck around on my Xbox One, man. It's easier.
You know what it is? It's the controller. Like, the controller feels like shit in my hands compared to the one controller. So, yeah, it's...
Shit. For me, it's the lack of controller, because I like being like, Xbox, go to Netflix. Like, right. I like that shit.
I go to the bedroom, and I'm mad. I got an Xbox 360. I get to hollering. I was like, damn it. It won't respond.
Like, the other day, I was trying to take a nap in the bedroom, and I left the TV on in the living room, right? And it was loud as shit. And I was like, fuck, I can't go to sleep. Now, I could have got my punk ass up and walked the 10 feet to turn it off. But instead, I used my notebook to log into the Xbox One control app, and I switched it to PowerStar Golf and turned the volume down, and then I went back to sleep without leaving the room. That's the level I'm at right now. So I look at the Xbox 360 like how people that get married and already have kids like look at the stepchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, aww, you ain't mine, boy. Like, that's how I look at that 360, man. But I do need to play that damn game because it's one of my favorite games. But
yeah. And I'm waiting. That's why I'm not pressuring you to play The Wolf Among Us, which I also finished the first season, because it's really good. But I'm like, yo, I'm just gonna tell him to wait until it gets on to the one. Yeah, because that's the only way you're gonna end up playing it anyway. But that's really good too.
Dude, I think I've actually already bought it and downloaded it, and I still haven't played it.
Yeah, I can't blame you. Like, it's really good too. So.
I have no excuse, dog. I just don't want to turn my 360 on.
And then the last thing is what I've been reading. So I haven't done it recently, but I know when I went to San Diego, I downloaded a bunch of comic books to catch up on. And yeah, everybody told me, you're right, Saga is fucking amazing.
It is.
I read, like, what is it, 18 issues? So I read all those while I was on the fucking plane.
Yeah, dog. That shit, I love the time jumps in that joint, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, an issue ends and you're like, oh, shit. And it comes back, it's like... they don't tell you how much time, but you're like, yo, this baby look big as shit.
Right. I think the last issue that they have out is ending with the baby stepping off the plane. You're like, wait a minute, when is she starting to walk?
Right.
What the fuck is this?
Time passes so cool. It's so dope. Right. And especially since it's told from the baby's point of view.
Oh yeah.
It's just a great book, man. Everybody should be reading it.
Yeah, that's a good book. Then I also started reading The Fables because I played The Wolf Among Us. And, those were actually pretty good, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how many issues I got through there, but I got through a good number on those on the plane as well. So I downloaded all The Fables and reading those. That's, again, I like reading those because, you know, the characters you grew up with, fairy tales you grew up with, but motherfuckers are, like, in such a different space. Like, Goldilocks and the Three Bears, she's, like, married to one of the bears, and she's, like, this revolutionary trying to, like, do all this crazy shit. So it's just, like, you're like, oh, this bitch is crazy. Okay, and she's fucking a bear. Right. Okay, I guess. It's pretty cool, man. It's pretty dope. So, really enjoying that. So.
All right. Anything you've been, you say you haven't been playing anything new. Okay.
Yeah, no, nothing new yet. I mean, nothing really out right now. You know? Yeah.
You're wearing that lull between, the summer and, November when everything starts coming out.
So. Yeah, I missed the Destiny beta, so I heard good things about it, but I didn't get to play it, so.
Yeah, I missed it too. All right, Romaine, man, anything you've been playing, reading, or watching?
Reading/watching, I got back into
what's it called? Attack on Titan for a little bit. I had to get into that.
That's my show.
Yeah. I was something about that series just is incredible. Like it's the whoever's writing for it. They're the Japanese version of Martin, of A.R. Martin.
Yeah.
He doesn't care who goes.
Right.
They just go.
And you know what the best part of that is? A Japanese series do this so much better than American series. Where they set up rules and they don't really tell you why. Like, they just show you something that each character does for, say, 10 episodes. And they don't really tell you why. And you're always kind of in the back of your mind like, yeah, why the fuck do they use this thing? Like, why?
Yeah.
And then, like, 5 episodes in, they're like, oh, yeah, the only way to kill these things is by cutting their neck. And it's got to be the back of the neck right here. And you're like, so that's why you can't just cut their leg off. Like, it's so good at shit like that. And it changes the way you looked at everything before that and the way you look at everything going forward.
And as they reveal things, the best part is that you can go back into the series where, let's say you find something out in, like, issue 20.
Yep.
You go back and read 1 through 19 again, and they've already, he's like, oh man, that's him drawing in the background doing the exact thing, that sneaky little bastard. Like, all these little details now come out, and it's the attention to detail is just beyond incredible.
It's amazing,
for that
dude.
Series.
It's amazing. Like, I sometimes feel like American series go by the seat of their pants, and it's like for example, True Blood, the last season of True Blood, they're just like remaking rules, like, vampires can't swallow. You're like, well, y'all already did 6 seasons of vampires doing a bunch of crazy shit that required a bunch of that. Like, there's like, this rule now makes no sense. It's just convenient for what you need to do next episode or this episode. Like, Attack on Titan has so much forethought in order to even do that.
Yep. And there's nothing wrong with just taking, as a writer, taking the time to outline the rules, following those rules. And then, like, we as the reader, or as the consumer of the product, we have this notion that we deserve to know. And it's like, no, we get to know as much as they let us know. And we either we figure it out or we just wait.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that's the best part of the story. The best part of the story isn't like, if the lesson's not given to you, it's that moment where you go, ah.
Yes.
And then that's how, and you remember those series for, like, for the rest of your life because of that.
Right. And the thing about it is that I like that it's very, very dark. They don't hold any punches. It's a lot of death. It's a lot of his, I guess, / half sister. She's a badass, and you know, her emotions are something else. Because when she gets angry, it's one of those things where when people say shit to her, you're looking at them like, do you know she can really fuck you up, dog?
Yeah, it's just cool because, like, with, like, Aaron and his powers, you like. Half of the series was just figuring out how to get the shit to work.
Right.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you just had this, when you're like, I mean, dude, that, I mean, it's not a big spoiler because it happens right away, but, like, when that nigga gets 8?
Yeah.
I was like, so we learned all this shit about this little nigga for nothing? Like,
that was the best, that was my favorite part of the series because, like, they spent, especially in the anime, because granted, the manga did it very well. But the anime spaced it out where you got to know the characters, all the introductions, we're all friends. Oh shit, they just killed the main dude.
His
first real fight, and this nigga's dead.
Dog, what? They built that dude up so hard, and he died immediately. Like, I was fucked.
And that's the, like, that breaks every comic book rule.
Right.
Ever, where he's like, oh, he's a chosen one. Nothing's okay. Well, nothing's ever gonna happen to him.
Yeah,
and he's the first dude to just get to be gone.
And it's not like he dies and that's like the cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. He dies and then they fight the motherfuckers for like 2 more issues
without him
before he comes back. Like you really are like, yo, I guess they killed that dude.
Yep.
Yep.
And everybody's crying and shit, and then all the other people are dying too. It's like,
and it's real emotion. Like, you sitting there like, yo, they really for real killed this dude because he had everyone hyped.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's the other. It was like the scene where fucking Sam Jackson dies in Deep Blue Sea.
Yep.
Well, he he hyped everyone up, and it's like, we going into battle, and we gonna, yo, I think, like, and they don't just eat him, like, his arm, like, gets chopped off. Like, you see,
his arm flies across the rooftop and bounces off, and he's like,
right.
He's like, all right, give me your hand. I'm going to help you. Bam. Just that's it.
Yep.
He's like, oh.
Amazing. It is an amazing series. Yeah. Yeah. I fuck with that too.
Very good.
That's just one of my beautiful. And the thing is, we didn't even ruin anything by saying that. That's the whole, mm-hmm. that's the right. best the part about point. It.
Yeah. That's like a tenth of the shit that happens.
That, because right. the stuff you find out afterwards.
Right.
Even the way that he was brought back. He wasn't brought back the way comic books do it, where he's some magic or some, he makes some deal with some devil.
Yeah.
He's brought back in such a realistic way. I won't say realistic, but in a more, I guess in a more you know what logical way.
I would say in a more messy way.
Yeah.
By messy, I mean like, that's how life is. Life isn't clean. Like, comic books are really clean. Like, Captain America got shot, but then, they gave him a magic serum and then he healed and now he's back. And you're like,
yeah,
that's not how life works. Like, if that shit really happened, it would fuck up everybody's world that this dude was back.
And that's what it did in that series. It fucked up everyone's world. And then when Captain America comes back, he comes back like he's not, like he wasn't dead.
Right.
Like, Eric comes back like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, he has this whole sense of like,
yes.
Okay. Last thing I remember, I got eaten. And then nothing. And now I'm looking at you all in the face. And then they're looking at him like, we're all surprised too. You shouldn't be here.
Dude, when they start theorizing on how to use his powers and shit, and they take like 4 episodes, come up with a plan, and then, you know, initiate it and shit. Then they don't know that he can even, if he can turn his powers back on or not, they're not sure. And then when it finally does, he don't do the shit they want him to do. I was like, this is the best shit ever.
Just that series. I just like how they do their stories in general, and that's why I'm liking the way the new thing, because I want to get into Saga. Like, I mean, that's my next. I have so much stuff planned. I'm in the middle of moving, so I'm not really up on a lot of stuff now. I got Arrow in my Netflix queue.
Arrow is everything, sweetie.
Oh, I've heard so much great things. I'm like, if I don't catch things from episode 1, I wait for it to finish, and I sit down, and I just binge the entire thing.
That's smart.
I do that too, man. Binging is better anyway, because I think, especially with the way nerd shit is now, it gets overrated easily.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even, like, because I guarantee you had nothing but, well, not guarantee, but you probably had nothing but good reviews of Arrow for the last 2 years. So you're going to walk into it with high expectations. So if you would have had to wait a week between episodes, when you have a lull, it's like, well, I don't know why you guys are acting like it's so great.
You
know what I mean? But when it's like, I'll just cue the next one. Let me see if maybe this goes somewhere. Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Yeah. I see what you guys are talking about now.
Yeah.
And then you can pace yourself. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm into it, but I can pause and get something to drink.
Right. And that makes it different because Roger and Chris have been talking about the Arrow forever. And I finally set my ass down, and I watched, I think I watched season 1 and season 2 within, like, 2-3 weeks max?
Yeah, she was watching the shit out of those.
Because it was just everything. And also, I didn't live tweet it. I wanted to live tweet, but I said no, because if a motherfucker come over here and fucking ruin this for me, I will goddamn shoot them.
Yeah.
So I just sat and just watched it. And the way it ended, I was like, God damn it, I'm ready for season 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, season 2 should be piloting on Netflix soon anyway, because they usually put it out, like a month or so before they do the, and I think it comes back in October, so it should be coming out probably in September, I would say.
Yeah, that was taking too long, Chris, because I like flew through season 1 and was like, hey, what's season 2? And I looked at Roger like, hey, doll, what's season 2?
And and honestly, they did something really impressive, which is have a 22-episode first and second season in the new age of cable, where, you know, since cable started, man, pretty much every season is at the most 12 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are actually going to the 8-episode format. And Arrow's been able to do 22-hour-long episodes for 2 seasons, man. It's really impressive.
That's good. I like to hear stuff like that. I like when they're able to have control. Or when writers, producers, when they able to have control outside of the network. Like, look, I need this time to tell the story. Either, you know, we remember the good stories. That's what we're talking about with Ninja Turtles and all that. We remember the good stories.
Yeah.
I'm not stupid. Don't treat them like dirt. I mean, the money will come in if it's good.
Yep.
Right.
And it's good. They've been able to spawn other shows. Like, Flash and, you know, Gotham's gonna come. Like, they've been able to spawn other shows because of it.
Flash is actually the reason why I have it in my queue now, because, like, I'm gonna get to it. I'm moving, I'm packing, I'll get to it. I hear Flash is about to come out, and I'm like, all right, I gotta get to this now.
Flash is
a whole new beast in itself. Like, in my opinion, a very underrated DC character.
Yes.
And listen, I can't wait to see what they do with him.
You guys are going to love it. I saw I know the leak is out, but I tell people all the time, I avoid leaks. So I waited until I sat in line at preview night so I can make sure I got a good seat to watch it at preview night. And I'm going to tell you, every good thing you've heard about that, it lives up to it. Like, I think the pilot is better than the pilot episode of Arrow, hands down. It might be.
Don't do this to me.
Well, I'm telling you. It,
don't do this to me,
it, please. It is.
Well, it should be though, Chris, because they've had 2 years to kind of figure out. You know, it's like everything. You go to the future, it's better, and it would make sense that because actually the other thing is the pilot episode for Arrow, not the greatest. Like,
no, it's not.
Like, I remember watching it and being like, "The fuck were these niggas talking about?" But then it's like, immediately after that, you're like, oh, wait a minute, this is fucking excellent. But,
yeah, it picks up. Yeah, like, and that's the thing. You can tell because it is different. Like, they really distinguish between, even though they're in the same universe, they distinguish between Arrow and Flash. Mm-hmm. The Flash pilot is way quicker. It's not a lot of secrets like Arrow was. It's very. And you'll see it's a quick pace in it. You don't take, you know, all episode for him to get his powers and then they cut to, you know. No, no. It's pretty quick paced and it goes about its business very well. And it's gonna do even better things for Arrow because they really are using Flash to really set up metahumans in that universe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just gonna get better for both of them, man.
Opens up so much.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So the first season of Arrow, they weren't gonna do metahumans, they weren't gonna do superpowers, they're gonna make it very realistic. Second season, they were like, no, we're gonna do it now. We're gonna bring the Flash, and everybody's like, I don't know how that's gonna work, but they actually did a really good job.
Yeah.
When they do Arrow, I mean, when you do Flash, you'll see they really set up how they're going to really introduce metahumans across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, it now opens up everything, man. It's a really good pilot.
Even the concept of Arrow, I'm still convinced that Arrow is Batman.
And, yeah, that's what, yeah.
And I'm convinced that they just couldn't figure out a way, because they knew nerds would go crazy if they said, we're going to come out with a Batman TV show.
Right.
So they just turned Arrow into Bruce Wayne and Batman. And
well, technically, that's what Arrow is anyway. He's like he's without all the brooding and depression.
Yeah. And well, when you see it, you'll see, like, he is more brooding. He is more depressed. It is more of a darker show. And it's clearly that they were like, what if we could do Batman, but without all the, like, you know,
the nerd hate.
Yeah, without all the hate. Like, well, because that's all he is. He's like, he does Batman level shit where you're like, yo, dog, Batman would have did that. And, but you don't have to worry about the hate because he did it with an arrow instead of a batarang.
Right.
So nobody wrote the, you know, 12 page, yo, Bruce would never do this shit.
Right.
Like, you just enjoy it. So, I'm convinced, man. Like, I think that they're setting it up to be, really good. Is there anything else you're watching or reading?
I finished Flashpoint.
Okay.
The cartoon one.
Yes. What'd you think about it?
So good. Mm-hmm. And that it was well animated in general. Like, the fight scenes were just so well animated. And then the whole Flash going back in time thing, the paradox, the Flashpoint paradox.
Yes.
Bruce dying instead of the parents dying.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Did you read it?
I watched that first, then I went back and read how she became the Joker, and he became Batman, but he was, like, just shooting niggas left and right.
What? Dog, they get you in that series away. Like, that, as soon as they cut to Batman and that nigga, you realize he's bucking shots at niggas. I was like, hold up, this is a whole different world, bruh.
I see, that's one of the series I think I do feel bad saying too much about it, because there's people I know that haven't even looked at the Paradox series, and I'm, you just, no, I can't do it to you.
Yeah, you gotta check it out.
Watch it. You gotta watch it. You gotta read it.
And yeah. I actually think the Flashpoint cartoon movie is better than the series, because the series didn't go into the depth that I think they could have.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, they could have. They really could have spun off like a whole nother version of the New 52 with just the like alternate heroes. Like, I would have loved to see the Superman like origin story compared to our Superman origin story. Like. Yep. And how they fucked with him, and like what that did to him, dog. That would have been so good.
I was so disappointed with reading that, because they did too many different series instead of focusing on some of the bigger ones and giving them 5 issues. Each of them should have been 5 issues and not 3.
Yeah, Batman because, only had 3.
Right. I mean, all of them were 3. Like almost every single one of them was 3 issues, and it just was not enough to tell. Like the storyline between what happened with Wonder Woman and Aquaman.
Nice. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh.
Like, there should be more. I need more of this. It was good, and they ran it too short. It was so criminally short. It's one of those things that I'm like, you guys had a hit here. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's good, but it should have been so much more. It reminds me, I forgot to mention, I also got Assault on Arkham.
Yeah, I was going to bring that one up.
Oh, yeah, cool.
That whole war was just that they missed the opportunity between the war between Atlantis and
oh my god,
Themyscira.
Yeah,
that in itself could have just been, and the battlefield being Earth, just that whole thing, would have been just beyond, depending on who was writing it, honestly, but beyond anything we would have imagined from DC in general, because the Earth was just happens to be a bystander. Of a war between, a woman who killed his wife after he cheated with her.
Yep.
Like, it's a very classic king queen I guess Greek type of tragedy. Yeah. Like, very classic in its design in a modern world, and they really
missed that. Yeah, and I wish they would have gone into more detail, because
really
just that storyline alone is enough to make a whole series.
Yeah.
Oh my god! I was reading it. I was just so disappointed that I was like, "What do you mean? There's only one more issue?"
Right? Yeah, nigga, that could have been Wonder Woman versus Aquaman the series.
Oh my god!
That shit would have been so good, man.
Sorry, I was playing. I didn't want to cut in too much, but I've just been playing a lot of roguelike types of games. You know, one way heroics. I just got that, which is amazing.
One way heroics?
Never heard of that one.
Basically, you can only go to the right. You go to the left, and this darkness swallows you, and the game's over.
Oh, shit.
Right? So you just have to keep going to the right, and you can go anywhere you want. Every step you take, the screen just moves to the right, you know, one pixel or so.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a very old school looking, anime type of game. Very old school pixel blocks. And all the NPCs you meet on the way, they don't move. So they're sitting there, and you run at them over time. And everything you do, whether you go into your inventory, whether you talk to somebody, whether you attack, you can just sit and wait. It just moves over time. So the NPCs are sitting there like, hey, you going to buy something? It's like, cool, I'll buy something. Say, hey, it'd be nice if you could take care of this darkness and be a demon lord, because this pixel, we can't move, so we're going to die. But you just keep going, and you can save us. And once you die, though, it's done. You have to, like, start over with a whole new character. You can probably save some items, and you get ranked on how you did, and then just start over again with the castle being eaten up by darkness and you running to the right.
You just
keep doing it over and over.
What are you playing this on?
I'm playing this on... I have Steam.
Okay, okay.
So I have this on my computer. It's also out for... The beta, I think, is on the PS4 right now.
Okay.
And... Something about the roguelikes lately have been really getting... I mean, they're with my schedule, it's very quick. It's very...
Right.
You know, I don't have, like, 20 lives, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's Rust, it's One-Way Heroics, and Project Zomboid, which you would love as a fan of
The
Walking Dead, because it's just you make a character... And they just drop you in a spot. You can pick some class stuff, like what your job was. You can be unemployed, so you're a blank slate. You can be a fireman, whatever. And then they just drop you in a point and say, hey, guess what? You need to survive. In 3 months game time, the electricity is going to be cut off.
in 4 months, the water's going to be cut off.
Shit.
So get to work and survive.
Get to work.
And that's it. So you can have your main base. You can, you know, put planks on the windows and make sure that you got curtains up. Try not to be too loud. Don't get food together. When your refrigerator cuts off because electricity cuts off, your food starts to spoil. If you don't, you got to cook your stuff. You got to roam around the city and just try to make something for yourself to survive. And that's still in beta. They're going to implement stuff where eventually you can get rescued. There's NPC characters. And every once in a while, you might hear like a plane fly over.
Yeah.
And you try to get its attention. But because the plane flew over, it brought all the attention of the zombies in the area.
Shit.
So now you're like, I gotta leave. Yo, and they might bring a bunch of zombies straight to your safe house. And wow. Now you gotta make a new one.
Man, you just gave me a great idea for a video game. Would be a game where you play as the humans in Planet of the Apes.
You just gotta survive.
Yeah, that would be pretty dope, man.
That would be pretty dope, man. To be honest, damn, that's actually very good.
Like, when you know,
really think about it,
because the humans are the ones that really are like up Schitt's Creek in that reality.
Right.
And, you know, if you have to deal with like Carver fucking up everything, you have to deal with Koba deciding like, yo, man, fuck these humans. I'm about to take over.
Yeah.
Like, you're the ones at a huge disadvantage. Like, that would be a scary fucking game.
It would be.
Hiding from apes and shit. Like, that shit would be so real.
And it is multiplayer. I got to say that. It is multiplayer. Okay. So you can have some friends come in and Project Zomboid. And you just have you and your friends. If one of your friends get bit, depending on the settings of the game or of the server, your friend can get bit, and your friend can see that, okay, I got bit, and now I've got this timer running. Do I tell my friends that I've been bit? And you can just sit there and be like, nah, everything's cool. And they notice that you can't keep up. Like, hey, man, what's happening to you? Okay, you slowing down. We'll wait up.
We got to get it on this, yo.
Yo, that's
we got to get it on this.
Yo, that's so dope. Yeah. Oh my god!
Because you guys are some assholes, yo.
Well, you already know. You already know. I'm not telling nobody.
Right. So, right. You're gonna be like, yo, hey, Rod, why are you? No, man, it's cool, man. You know, I'm just editing this show, and that's why I'm behind. Yeah. Right, hey, man, I don't think we should trust Rod.
Yo, you turned kind of green, bro.
And that's the best. That was the best part because, like you start off on the server. Like, I was testing out with a friend just to like see how it would work, what I would do on the server and whatnot. And we don't start at the same place. So we're on a mic telling each other, okay, here's a landmark. Can you see this here? Cool. And then my friend lets off some shots. And I'm like, dude, why are you wasting bullets? I realize he's like behind me. But because he blasted off these shots. And I was trying to tell him, look, I got zombies running me. Pop, pop. Okay, they're all coming this way. I don't know why you did that. And I'm running towards him. And he brought in a whole bunch on his end. And we're just surrounded. And I'm like, dude, I got to. you killed us. Again. and what you can do is when you're done, you can log back into that same server, new character. You can run into your old self, shambling around like an idiot because your friend decided to let off some shots.
Oh, in Lord.
The parking lot. And there's day-night cycles. There's weather. It's a really well-made game for something that's still in early access.
What's the name of that game?
Project Zomboid. Right?
Project Zomboid.
Oh yeah, I can't. Yeah, yeah. Need to end on that one because that would lead to some hilarious.
The
moments.
Crew.
It'd be like zombies when we did what was it? That Ghost Recon joint.
Oh nigga.
Because that was the funniest shit we ever did, man. Because niggas was just like, hey, look, we're gonna have this plan. We're gonna do this. Hey, which one of you niggas is shooting already, yo?
Yeah. I thought I could snipe him, dog.
Right.
Yep. Or just the second server. This is my favorite one. The second server, he left the stove on in the safe house and burnt it down.
Oh, dude.
And I put a lot of work into it because, like, I made the server first, didn't tell him, put all this work into it. Then I was like, hey, here, I got a little safe house thing going on. You can start off a little better because I know you're new at this. I taught him how to cook and, you know, you can build things. You can build a farm, all that. And then he left the stove on.
That's
and
great.
We're running around fending for stuff, getting stuff. And he burns the house down.
That's can you awesome. Kill your friends, yo?
And I don't know if he can kill our friends yet.
which I would have liked to at that point in time, because I've amassed so much stuff and he just burnt that house down. And you can't, like, just reset the server. Like, that's that game. Mm. So you either got to scrap the whole thing all together and make a new one. And then that's it.
Oh, man. All right. And for me, I'll just go over the ones y'all didn't talk about. I saw Snowpiercer. I thought it was straight. Not great, not terrible. It's getting a little overrated, but I think that's because it didn't make a lot of money, so critics feel comfortable praising that movie.
Right.
But I enjoyed it. It had some convenient parts, because all of it takes place on a train, and it's supposed to represent a lot of stuff about the economy and...
Well, that's why people like it so much then. Oh, yeah, okay.
The 1% and all this shit. But it had some really convenient moments where, like, they would need the train to do something just for that point in the script. So, like, hey, we're going to have a fight, but we want to have the half of the fight happen in the dark, so we go into a tunnel just conveniently. Or there was a point where they were shooting out between two different train cars, and it's like they just happened to go around a curved bridge at that moment, so that the train cars could face each other enough to shoot at each other. It's like, you know, that wouldn't happen. And, like, you know, what are the odds that you would fucking do that? So there's a bunch of moments like that, but I still enjoyed it. It's based off a comic book. It was cool. You just can't think about it too much, to be honest. And then I saw Lucy, speaking of things you can't think about too much. this movie's third act specifically just loses, like, all the shit they set up in the first one, the first two. And it's almost like if you got really fucking space trippy high and tried to come up with, like, what do you think would happen if you could access 100% of your brain, and you just came up with crazy, crazy, crazy shit. That's kind of what the third act was. I was very upset because I thought the premise was really good. And I felt like they just stopped giving a fuck about the premise after a while, which kind of sucks. Like, they even had, like, a thing in the beginning where they would show, like, clips of animals, and they would talk about nature and how predators versus prey and how it changes everything. And then by the end, it's like they didn't even care about that anymore. They were doing time travel and all kinds of weird shit, man. So I would not go. I would wait till I saw it on Netflix or something. And then, like, the pieces that people wrote about it were so weird. Like,
see, yeah, that's the thing that got me. I enjoyed the movie, but then when people started writing the pieces about it, I was like, okay, you know what? I'm wrong.
Yeah, because they were writing, like, people were like, yo, fuck Guardians of the Galaxy and fuck Marvel. Lucy shows how to make a real hero movie. I was like, what? Like, who watched that and walked out of there thinking, like, you walked in there thinking that. There's no way you walked out of there thinking that shit. Like, yeah, it was. She wasn't very superheroic at all, you know. There's a moment. By the way, it was also weird people calling it a hero movie, because there's literally a moment where she kills an Asian dude for not being able to speak Chinese, and he didn't do nothing wrong.
No, she was not a hero. She was not trying to do any.
Wait, what?
Yeah, she was like, she walked out and was like, "Do you speak English?" It was just two Asian cab drivers having a conversation in Chinese, and he was like, "Do you speak English?" And he was like, no. And then she killed him and then got in the car with the other dude, because he was like, yeah, I speak a little English.
Dude, I'll do you one better. She killed the dude on the operating table because the doctor was trying to save him. She was like, oh, you wouldn't have been able to save him anyway.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, there was nothing heroic about, like, it was right. The whole point of the character was that she was not heroic, and that it wasn't about, she didn't care about humanity anymore. I mean, right. That was the whole, oh my God.
And there was I saw pieces that were like, talking about feminism, Jesus talking about race. Like, I was like, how you niggas got all that out of this stupid ass movie? I don't get it. Like, I could actually see if the movie was trying to be smart, but it felt like they took a turn halfway through. They decided, like, yo, let's just get real dumb. Like, what's the dumbest shit you could think of that your brain would be able to do? It's like, yo, we could make you time travel, son. Like, that didn't even make sense in the context of the world they built. But it was basically like their whole excuse was her brain is so advanced, you can do anything. It doesn't even have to make sense. You know, and then when the climax was when she handed him that USB card, dude, I wanted to fucking piss on the fucking screen. I was like, I know I didn't watch an hour and a half of this, dog. No way. I'm watching a series called Extant, starring Halle Berry as a woman who's an astronaut that has fertility issues. She can't get pregnant, but she goes up in space for 14 months and comes back pregnant. And she comes back like 2 or 3 months pregnant, not even like 9 months pregnant.
Is it David Justice?
it's kind of weird, creepy. Like, it's a lot of like, she sees visions and they can't tell if it's like stress from her trip, if it's like a third like entity messing with them. There's like a secret shady government organization that, you know, she works for them, but then they have like an inner like cabal that, like, is, you know, behind this idea that impregnated her and all this stuff. So it's kind of interesting, man. I didn't think I would like it at all, but I'm intrigued. I'll say that much. And honestly, man, what they got me was Lou Gossett Jr. is in that joint, man.
I didn't know that.
And he's just one of those dudes, man. Like, for me, when I see Lou Gossett Jr. and shit, I take notice. I'll be like, oh, that nigga can actually act. And he ain't on TV enough, so.
Nigga, I watched, what was that joint that he played with the kid, teaching the kid to fly the F-16?
Oh, nigga, Iron Eagle.
Iron Eagle, yeah, nigga.
Yo, that nigga in like 12 Iron Eagles, and he is fed up with white people in all of them.
Nigga, I watched Iron Eagle solely because he was in them, alright? So listen, I can't even judge you for this shit, yo.
Yeah, dawg. I saw that Lou Gossett. Like, it was really like I was deleting the episode off my DVR. Like, yo, fuck this show. And right when the preview started being like, next time on Extant, it was like, oh, so you finally want to come visit me? I was like, oh, is that my nigga? Hold up. Hold up. We are back. So, yeah, I've been watching it. He been good, too. Like, he plays the grandfather, the father of Halle Berry, right? But, like, he's an alcoholic. A recovering alcoholic who does it, like, who fell out with her a long time ago, and they have a strained relationship, and like they have it's not really a child, it's like a AI, you know, artificial intelligence, but it's like made to seem like a child, and they're trying to teach it about the world and make it grow up and shit. So like they told him to like take care of the child, so this nigga takes the kid down to a bar. And them niggas start gambling, and he using the kid because he knows the kid is a robot and nobody else does. So it's like playing this game, this bar game, where you like put this hoop on a hook and you have to swing it all the way across the room. It's like, you know, almost impossible to do, but the robot can do it as many times as it wants. So he was like, you know, I'll take all y'all money. Like, let's go. And they're like, you know, gambling and shit. But earlier he had forgot he was trying to teach him a life lesson, and he told him that, you know, not everybody can be perfect, and everybody's not, you know, perfect. So that's part of being human. So the robot gets to like the third, like pivotal, like double or nothing swing and shit. And he's like, double or nothing. Let's go. Put your money up, suckers. And so the robot has a flashback, and he's like, you know, not everybody can be perfect. You know, that's the problem. Everybody trying to be perfect all the time. So he's like, I'm gonna miss it on purpose. And he misses it. Man, this nigga was so mad at that little robot. He was mad as shit, dog. He took another drink. Like, he was supposed to be a recovering alcoholic, man. That nigga took a shot, got in the car, drove drunk. Like, it was good, man. Like, only Lou Gossett Jr. can pull that shit off, man. So, yeah, I'm in. But it's for him, because Halle Berry not good at acting.
Dude, she's terrible. That's why I never started watching.
Yeah, and her husband, dude, is kind of unbelievable. Like, it's a lot of unbelievable people in this
joint. I feel like Halle Berry's one of those people that actually gotten worse with acting as she's gotten older, yo.
Yeah, she has.
It's just, I mean, she would never, don't get me wrong, she was never really good.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's just to the point now, she thinks she's good, and so it makes it even worse now.
You know what, I think she's still, like, up on that 90s hype when she was, you know, the it girl, and she feels like she's still that it girl. I'm like, you're not.
And Hollywood does too, because they keep giving her roles.
Yeah, yep. I'm waiting on something that, like, the other thing is this, it does have this ominous feeling. Like, I feel like at some point it's gonna take a huge turn, like, where something real bad's gonna happen. Because, like, right now, I think they, like, like, you know, the pregnancy part is kind of like over, but they want to know like what happened to the baby and like, did she get the baby taken out of her? Like a whole lot of mystery. But I feel like somebody needs to die. Like her husband is all supportive and shit. Like if he died in the next couple episodes, that would be great. You know what I mean? Like just get, like give her something to do other than like have these conversations with her husband all the time. So.
And they pointless and very boring.
Yeah. Yeah. But I fuck with the show though, man. Lou Gossett Jr., dog. He that good. So, all right. And then, what else was I watching? Oh, I watched the whole season 2 of Orphan Black. It was great. I need to review it at some point, but, yeah, it was pretty great, man. The only thing that blew me was, they got a little too clever and they tried to have one of the clones be a transgender clone. And, she couldn't pull that off at all, dog. She did not look like a dude. Like, I don't know if it's just cause she too damn fine, Tatiana Mosley or whatever.
She is.
But, she was trying hard, and I mean, God bless her heart and all that for trying, but come on, dog. Like, you expect me to believe that you a dude now just cause you put some facial hair on? Ms. Laney, I think is her last name, not Mosley. I always say that. But, no amount of beard is gonna help, dog. like you fine as shit. You just need to like stick to female characters, cause only thing that did was make every dude be like, yo, I think I will fuck that dude.
I was trying to look her up real quick, like to get some other pictures of her, and this whole thing about her feet came up, and I'm like, well, you know what?
Yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing, but she
it's a thing.
She's a beast, man. She's so talented because she already plays like fucking 9 characters on the show, you know, because it's all about clones. But yeah, she plays all these different characters. But my favorite is Cosima, the one with the she got like almost dreads and she wear glasses. The smart one, she bad as shit. But it's funny being like, yo, this clone is bad. And the other one, I'm like, she all right. But it's all the same woman. But, yeah, dog, that's my show. And, season 2 was off the hook. Someone asked what I think about the ending of season 2. Yo, I thought it was good. But with that cliffhanger being that, I don't want to spoil it, but the cliffhanger being what it is, now I wonder what the acting level talent of that new dude they introduced is, because, you know, obviously he's going to be a huge part. So, and we'll probably do an off-season review of it or something.
Okay.
At some point. And what else was I going to say? Dominion, The Strain, we talked about. They're both great. Oh, Assault on Arkham. Mm.
That was excellent.
I liked it a lot. Because it's really, if you think about it, Suicide Squad, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't even need to tell me Batman was in it. I was good with Suicide Squad the movie, dog. Like, it was good as shit. I love the way they use Batman in it as like almost like a boss, you know what I mean, in a video right. game. Like the nigga just shows up and he's a boss level for the bad guys. But it was really cool, man. They introduced some different heroes I hadn't seen before. Very bloody.
Yes, very good.
That's the thing about DC animated, man. They don't care about killing folks, you know.
Mm-mm. Yeah, niggas was catching it
badly.
Yeah,
sex.
Yeah, sex. They had fucking in there.
I forgot about that too.
Like that moment when what was it? Deathstroke or no, not Deathstroke. Deadshot is like Harley Quinn's coming on to him, and she's like naked, and then he just goes, fuck it, yeah, I'm gonna have to do this.
You know, dude, that was the greatest moment. Like, that's when I realized that movie was gonna be greatness, yo.
Yeah.
Because he really was on some, he was trying to kick her out. He's like, man, am I trying to do this? They look at her, he was like, shit, man, why not?
Yo? Right. He's like, your crazy ass is fine, so whatever.
All right, knowing what you know about Harley, if you were in that position, and knowing what you know about Joker, yeah, would you even entertain the thought? You'd be like,
if I'm Deadshot, yes.
Right. I mean, personally, I wouldn't, but if you're on Suicide Squad, like, you already got a fucking bomb in your neck, dog. Like, you might as well.
Enjoy it.
I think that's pretty much the calculation he made. He was like, fuck it, you only live once, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm gonna die anyway, so.
And what's old girl's name was over? Is it Heller? What the fuck is her name?
Waller.
Dog. And, with Waller being as menacing as she was in that movie, you might as well get some pussy, dog, because she was killing niggas. She killed that one nigga for just doubting her. Dude was like, man, you ain't about to do shit. He was like, she was like, oh, word. Well, I'll tell you what. He was like, I'm leaving. First chance I get, she's like, can y'all open the door? Go ahead and walk out, bro. It's nothing to me. And any of y'all don't want to go with him, go. And dude was like, I am going. And that nigga walked about three steps and she blew his fucking head up, man. I was like, yep.
So I'm working on the review for this. And one thing I know you would probably appreciate is they brought back, Bigger Waller. Cause she wasn't even in the Arkham, cause it's based off of the Arkham games.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly, in the after credits scene in Arkham Origins, they used the skinny Waller for that one too.
Yep.
So they actually brought back, Fat Waller for this one. So I know you'd appreciate that one.
Yeah, I do, man. I like Fat Waller, dog. Like she's intimidating and not everybody needs to look like skinny and hot. You know what I mean? Like in the new 52, they skinnied her down and made her hot. And it's just like, it's kind of a waste of a character, man. Cause I always liked her, like, as a, as an older, out, like, fatter, like, angry black woman that ran shit. Like, like, she's the only nigga that Bruce will step to and she'll be like, I'm not scared. Like, why are you wasting time? Like, I remember she was talking to him and I can't remember what it was I was reading or watching. He was trying to do that menacing shit in his Batman costume and she was like, listen, Bruce. I was like, God damn. She was like, I'll do what I want to do, Bruce. You just need to get back to your city and do. I was like, yo, she's the best. So, yeah, man, Fat Waller, man. She way better than.
I think that's the best analogy ever for anything. That the only thing that can stop Batman is a big black woman.
Mm-hmm. Even Batman knew to back up, man. Even Batman was like, let me calm down. But, yeah, man, plus we need to give these big ladies something to cosplay as, man. Everybody can't be skinny.
Right.
In the Justice League Unlimited joint, she was the one that fucked up Lex Luthor, man. When he was Brainiac, man, she shot the shit out of that nigga. And at the end, she was the one who told Terry about like Bruce Wayne's origin and all this shit. And like that was the way they ended the Batman Beyond series was. It's just another episode of Justice League Unlimited if you guys ever get a chance to watch it. But, yeah, she was the main person that told him. She was old as shit. She still wasn't scared. So, yeah, I fuck with her, dog. All right, and I've been reading Black Science. That is the second best comic book out right now behind Saga. So if you get a chance to watch read Black Science, catch it. I think it's only 6 episodes in. But it's so good, man. So good. A lot of stuff about alternate universes, alternate Earths, and all this different shit. But also, anybody can catch it. And it has this Johnny Quest feel to it, where it's just this, like, oh, we're gallivanting, we're on these adventures, except that anybody can die. Like, it's so good. X-Force, I've been reading that, the joint with Cable. It's just one of those weird sci-fi joints, like, every character has some weird sci-fi shit going on in the background, and I kind of like that. Everything from the fallout of, I guess it happened a while ago, so it's probably not a big spoiler, but Scott killing, Cyclops killing Professor Xavier. Every book based around that is great. The Uncanny Avengers, all new X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, I think. Like, all the ones, maybe it's Wolverine and the X-Men, whatever it is, all the ones that have, like, the new students at the schools, and, like, Cyclops has half the new students, Wolverine has half the new students, even though Wolverine's, like, never there.
Is this the one with the Rebirth Apocalypse as a kid?
Yeah. Them joints, like, I didn't like them at first, but they grew on me once I realized that, Cyclops had killed Xavier, and everything was a fallout from that. That's dope. Even Uncanny Avengers is really good, and that's with his brother Havoc leading a team of Avengers, of humans and mutants. But everything just goes back to that one moment, Scott killing Xavier, man. Like, that. Like they really wrote their asses off to do that. I'm sure it's going to end terribly, because they always do. Matter of fact, let me talk about the terrible ones. Wolverine series, ever since they got to the 3 months to die shit, it's terrible. it's real, real bad, man. Like, I don't, like, it's so bad, I don't, man, listen, they did something with Sabretooth.
Oh, I saw you tweeting about that shit,
This nigga was in a suit, and he wanna rule the world. That's not Sabretooth. Like, who would ever write that shit? Like, that's a violation of the character in every single level, dude.
Dude, I remember reading the Sabretooth miniseries back, way back when.
Yeah.
When it had, he shows up one time, and Mystique and Logan are, like, on a date, and, like, Logan's in a suit, and these niggas about to scrap right then and there.
Yes.
I'm like, that's the only time you get these motherfuckers in suits, when they're about to tear them off to tear each other.
Dude,
like, Sabretooth is not businessman, yo.
Sabretooth only... The only thing he cares about in this world is fucking with Wolverine's life. That's it. He don't
like. That's what
like,
made him so great.
Right. He was, man, it was an annual event in the comic book. This nigga would show up on Wolverine's birthday and be like, ha ha, nigga.
And then, happy birthday. How old are you? 42? 42 hits right now. Just get it. He was like an awful older brother.
Yeah. And the thing is, most of those comic book issues, Wolverine lost. Like, he, like, either the love of his life was getting fucked up, or he would show up and, like, fuck up whatever Wolverine's plans were at the time, or make Wolverine, like, not be able to be there for something else that was important. Like, and it would happen every year, like clockwork, and I was always looking forward to it.
Yep. And he would walk away, too. That was my favorite part. Sabretooth would fuck him up, or fuck up something, and then walk away, like, oh, I'm done. And then leave.
Right, dog.
I was like, see you next year.
Dude, I remember when, he had one where Wolverine was just walking the city and that nigga thought he smelled Sabretooth. And then, like, every scene, like, something creepier would happen. It'd be like, so then I went to this bar and then he would, like, hear Sabretooth's voice and, like, run outside and be like, just fight me! Get it over with! And, like, say, and then he would just hear, like, ha 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 ha, runt. Like, laughing on the wind, you know, that, like, how they draw it, like, ha 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 ha, runt. And then, like, eventually they fought at the end, dog. Like, it was, like, that kind of shit. And now this nigga want to rule the earth? That doesn't even make fucking... Man, that book's terrible. That book is... And also, by the way, Wolverine doesn't even have his healing powers anymore. So it wouldn't even make sense to, like, fuck him up too bad. Like, but they keep writing these loopholes where he keeps, like, one of them, he got shot with a bunch of arrows and, like, someone on his team has healing powers, so they healed him. I was like, see, man, what's the point of making him killable if he's just gonna get over everything? Like, I think he got, like, a scar on his eye now, and that's the most, like, the worst thing that's happened to him. With all those enemies he has and being able to die, the worst thing that happened to him was getting a scar over the eye. You know, he didn't even get adamantium poisoning. Like, if he didn't have healing power, he would just die of adamantium poison.
That was the whole point of the weapon, why he survived the Weapon X program.
Yeah, he would just die. Like, you got metal in every bone of your body. You would just be like, oh, damn, I don't got healing powers. Now I'm sick and laying in my fucking hospital bed. But yeah, anyway, dog, it's not good. So that joint was terrible. And there was something else. Oh, Avengers Infinity has been terrible. I stopped reading it. And I can't remember. I feel like there's another comic book out there that I was reading. I was just like,
You're not the first dude to say that either. So I'm glad I got a second confirmation on that.
Yeah,
so.
They went too far, man. They went too far with Avengers. Oh, I read Storm issue 1. It was good. I hope they continue it to be good.
Oh, that's how I need to get that. Yeah.
Yeah, that joint was good.
I need to read that one.
Yeah. Detective Comics is good. And that Batman Year Zero joint is real good. The only thing he's trying to do right now is beat the Riddler. And that shit been going on for like 10 issues, and it's still good. I hope it never ends. All right, man. We got news. Let's talk about the news. We got a bunch of shit. Actually, not that much shit. Some of these are short. The X-Men universe is now completely reset, says a producer, after X-Men Days of Future Past. So looks like they did get to that reboot. It just took them two extra movies. So I feel like I'm going to count this as me being right, Chris. it's a couple years late, but I knew they was rebooting it, man.
Yeah. No, I mean, okay.
You know, my thing, like you said, it's just I don't understand some of the decision making they make with this. Like, I didn't understand if you're rebooting it while all of a sudden at the end of Days of Future Past, they had to do that whole scene with all the old characters. But I'm just like, fuck it. At least they said the word reboot. I'm going to take it.
You know what's funny? Ironically, they are trying.
Yeah. No, no. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, as much as I hate some of the decisions Fox and Sony make with some of the characters sometimes, but Fox is trying. They do care about continuity, and they, you know, as haphazardly as it's been dealt with, that's the closest we've gotten to Marvel Comics and the way they deal with continuity. So
yeah, no, I'm actually okay. Like, I've come to terms. I came to terms before I saw Days of Future Past. I've come to terms with Fox making X-Men movies. I've realized they're not gonna make the X-Men movie I ever want to see, but that's fine. As long as they keep trying what they're doing now and getting better, I'll take it. And so right now I see them trying and making it better. I'll never get as excited for them as I do with Marvel Studios films or even WB films or even Sony films, but I'll take it. So yeah. Okay. I'm in a good place.
So yeah, X-Men universe being reset, not big news, but wanted to cover it. So it's official. EA has made a new program called, EA Access.
Mm-hmm.
And you pay either $5 a month or $30 a year to access a subscription of games. And those games will cycle periodically. Right now, you can play Battlefield 4, Peggle 2, FIFA 14, and Madden 25 for $5 a month on a rental basis. A lot of people are, you know, like speculating, is it really going to be worth the money? Will they be adding new games? Is it just going to be old archive games that people don't care about? EA swears that it's going to be everything, and I think they even have a beta. I think I'm part of the beta. I haven't even played it.
Yeah, this is a beta, yeah.
And I just haven't tried to rent anything or whatever. I don't really care that much about their games.
But baby.
Did they even fix Battlefield 4 yet to even warrant?
What do you say, Karen?
No, I was going to ask, but don't nobody want that. Everybody want hard disk, right?
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
Right, right. Why are we renting games?
Right. Well, you know who came out against it? Sony.
Oh, God. Fucking, oh, my God.
Yeah.
That made me so fucking mad. Like, and if somebody tried to argue me about that, and I would just like, Sony's doing the same thing.
Yep. They evaluated the EA Access subscription offering and decided that it does not bring the kind of value PlayStation customers have come to expect. PlayStation Plus memberships are up more than 200% since the launch of PlayStation 4.
Because you got to have it.
That's true. Which shows that gamers are looking for memberships that offer a multitude of services across various devices for one low price. We don't think asking our fans to pay an additional $5 a month for EA-specific program represents good value to the PlayStation gamer.
Right, because they're not getting the cut of that.
Except when you have PlayStation Now, which allows you to play your old PlayStation 3 games on your PlayStation 4, those rental prices that we saw in their beta are ridiculous and way more than $5 a month.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is what I was trying to tell somebody, but they were like, oh, well, no, it's not the same. No, it is the fucking same. Sony's saying this because it competes with what they're doing with PlayStation Now. Their rental prices are ridiculous. I'll pay, you know, if depending on what the library is, and, you know, maybe I don't do it for EA, but if other studios do it, I might do that. $5 a month for a rotation of four games, and I think you get discounts on DLC, you get early access to some games. I'm like, hey, $5 a month is not that bad. What do you get when you pay $19.99 to rent, you know, The Last of Us to play on your TV for 5 days for $20?
5 days?
Yeah, the prices were ridiculous.
What is this, Blockbuster prices? What's going on here?
It really was. Like, I looked on there too. It was pretty stupid.
And EA's like $5 a month, and you get a discount. Like, it's not like or, right now the games they have, not bad, but
or $30 a year, by the way.
Right.
And EA is probably the best studio if you're going to make a gamble like this because EA does put out 5 to 6 AAA titles a year. Mm-hmm. As opposed to most companies, which might do one a year or one every couple of years.
BioWare come under them?
Yep.
And they did make a promise, by the way, that they would even include new games. It wouldn't just be old games that people weren't buying. So
yeah, they're trying to do right by people because they're for 2 years they've gotten the worst company title. So they're trying to do good by people now, and it's also a great way to help market the newest Dragon Age that's going to come out. Yeah, people aren't going to buy it outright.
If they rent it, that's even better. Yes. You know, they'll be under a sweet subscription for a while, Sims 4. That's just going to open up their market to people who honestly will try it. It's almost like a paid demo service, but you can, you know, you can keep your saves provided that you buy it later on. I mean, that's amazing.
Wow. Right. For five, I only wish it wasn't studio specific. Right. You get a couple studios to do it. I can see doing that. Like, this is actually a pretty good value. Like, when I read what Sony said in the response, I'm like, they're offering more value. They're actually offering value here. What are you talking about? And it's not like people have to do this service.
You could even sign up for a year for $30. So it's even less than $5 a month. You know what I mean?
Right. So Sony going, we decided to opt out of it because it had nothing to do. Like, anybody who believes, I'm sorry, anybody who believes what Sony said, you're stupid.
Right.
Because, no, it's an option to sign up for EA. You don't have to. So Sony could have offered it, taking it, and it cost them, you know, it cost the users nothing but another option.
Well, I think they want to use it as leverage to try to force EA's games onto PlayStation Plus, you know, their giveaway games.
Mm-hmm, I think so too.
So they could be like, look, man, you can't sell your shit on our system, but what you can do is let us sell your shit on our system.
Right, which is not benefiting them. Yeah.
You know, it would be like if, it would be like if, since Xbox has Microsoft Studios now and Sony has like their own TV, like video services they're trying to do, it would be like if both consoles were like, yeah, no more Netflix because it's a bad deal and our people expect more. No, we don't. Like, just give us the option. What harm does it do to give me the option to spend more money if I want to?
Because the option would mean you would rather pay $5.30 versus $19.99 for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Did they mention how it's going to work with Origin at all?
According to this, right now they're only talking about Xbox One since PlayStation 4 kicked them off. I guess they're not talking about this for PC. They got asked some questions by what publication was this? Kotaku.com interviewed them. They talked to Michael Lewis, the lead producer at EA Access, and they asked him, will you lose access to games in the vault if you cancel your subscription? And if so, will players retain their progress in a given game if they cancel their subscription for whatever reason and then decide to come back? He said, if you do lose access if you're not a member, which is kind of duh. Also, the progress within the game is saved, so even if you lapse as a member and decide to come back, you'll be able to pick up where you left off.
That's smart.
Will progress carry over to standalone EA titles as well? So, say I start playing Battlefield 4 when I become an EA Access member, could I then cancel my subscription, purchase a standalone copy of Battlefield, and still save my progress? Your games and your progress are handled the same way as any other game on Xbox One, meaning that your game and progress is saved locally to your machine. You decide to end your membership or purchase a game, either physically or digitally. Any progress will then carry over. So that's good news.
You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of the whole renting game thing.
Right.
The Xbox One was trying to do, Microsoft was trying to do anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right.
Games in the vault will only be available for download, correct? Streaming is not part of current program. Said games in the vault are available for download, correct? The games are not streamed, which that makes sense so far. I don't know how, I guess I don't know enough about streaming games to know how reactive and responsive those are. But I mean, if I could have it on my console, I would rather download it and play it that way than, you know, have to stream it anyway. Yeah, unless my memory was full or something.
That's true. And PlayStation to me kind of reminds me with them not wanting to rent us, kind of like Apple is, where they don't want to do an all-in-one because it would take profits away from the iPad and it'll also take profits away from their notebooks, but everybody's pushing to an all-in-one combined. It's like, we don't want to do that shit. It's like, that's kind of where everybody's going, and because they have assholes that they know if they accept this, they'll complain. But them same people complaining, it's the same reason why your profits went up 200%, because you required that people have your subscription service, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Will there be an online connection requirement once you download the game? Nope.
That's great.
Yep. You don't have to be online. You can play offline as much as you like once you download the game to your hard drive.
That's excellent.
That's just incredible.
Like any other game. Will games that are currently available through EA Access remain available for the foreseeable future? Do you see any possible scenario where a game could be removed for any reason? He said they have no plans to remove games from the vault. There's always an off chance we may run into an unforeseen scenario in the future that we'll have to remove a title. If that ever happened, we give members plenty of notice. But let me be clear, that is not in our plans at all. We want the vault to stay in the vault. So it won't even be like, oh, you only have access to these four games rotating. It'll be, and now we're adding four more games. And now we're adding four more after that.
You know, $5 a month is a steal.
Yeah, right. Dog. I'm about to sign up for this.
Yeah, I got the beta. I haven't done anything with it yet because I've just been so busy.
Yeah.
But I went ahead and down, like, I think right now, if you're in the preview program, it's free right now.
Yeah.
I think. So,
like, yeah, if you just want, like, one of these games, it's already a steal.
Right.
Yes.
Will you be able to access your subscription on different Xbox One consoles? You'll be able to access it from multiple consoles. You just need to be signed in with your Xbox Live credentials.
Nigga, this is awesome.
How long will games have to be out before they're added to the vault? Does the vault only cover current and upcoming games? Are there any games that plans to add older EA titles? We're going to keep adding new games to the vault, so there will always be a great selection of games to play. There will all be Xbox One titles. But that's really all I can share for now. Do you plan to rotate games that are available? Like, will earlier versions of Madden be swapped out for the latest? Once it's in the vault, it stays in the vault. And he asked, does it only cover recent games? Are there any plans to add older EA titles from previous console generations? He already answered this. Why'd you ask that? Yeah, he said Xbox One games, it's a plan for right now. So yeah, man.
This actually is better for the consumer.
Yeah, pretty cool shit.
Wow.
I just gotta put this picture in the chat, man. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles had a poster for the movie, and that shit was it said coming to cinemas September 9/11 from Paramount Pictures.
Oh God, I remember that one.
And and it was the turtles jumping off of an exploding building.
Oh, yeah. Somebody didn't think that through, did they?
Yeah, some intern got fired, dog.
You know, well, see, you know what it is? I don't even know if that happened because it was from Australia.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's what I'm trying to tell people. Like, Americans always get fussy about this kind of stuff, but we don't realize that other countries don't give a fuck about us.
Right.
So, yeah. Some intern in Australia was just like, what the fuck is wrong with September 11th? And somebody had to tell him, like, oh, you don't know what happened in America on September 11th?
Right. Because we the only people that care about us. We don't give a fuck about nobody else.
I mean, if anything, it looks like the Ninja Turtles 2 arcade opening.
Yeah, it does.
Yes. Yeah, it does.
Because, it does. I mean, if you played that, that's the first thing when you jump out of the burning building after level 1. You get that cutscene.
Y'all fucking love that game, too.
Yeah, that was my game. You had to beat up Bebop and Rocksteady. And
yep. Right after you finished that, they jumped out the building, and that was basically the scene. April. So, I mean, he's probably sitting there like, man, this is awesome. I got all these people on my side. What do you mean I'm fired? Like, it's funny to me.
Xbox games with gold is out now, the new ones, and for 360 Xbox One in August. The first one, the first through 15th on Xbox 360, you can get Motocross Madness for free. Then the 16th through 31st, you can get Dishonored, which I wanted to pick up for a while, and now I can finally get it because I heard it was a good game, but I just didn't want to pay a lot of money. So I'll download it for free. And then, the entire month of August on Xbox One, you can get, Crimson Dragon and Strike Suit Zero Director's Cut. So giving away those two games. And I'll download all those games when they announce them just cause, I mean,
why not?
Yeah, it's free. Yeah. If I don't like it, fuck it, you know?
Yeah. Strike Suit is good. Strike Suit, and Dishonored. Strike Suit is very arcadey. Space sim kind of thing. I mean, it's something. Damn, I don't really remember. I don't really know how to explain it. If you found a video of it, you'd just be like, "Oh, this is like an '80s game with a 2014 polish."
Okay.
And it's fun in that way. And like, Dishonored was one of the few games I sat. You know, you're like, remember that time when you used to come home from work? And you just sit down and you're like, I'm going to play this game only for an hour just to realize that it's time to go to bed. Dishonored was that for me for 3 days in a row. I went through the whole thing in 3 days and was like, this was the most fun I've had in a long time with the first person shooter. So you're gonna like Dishonored, man. You're gonna like the shit of that.
Yeah, I definitely downloaded it, man, so I'll be playing it.
That's the thing with this game for golds. I mean, you can download them, and if you don't want to, you can just delete them later, and right. If you want to come back to it, you know, and download it again some other time, you can. Yeah. So,
and they never lose access to it because once you download it for free, it's always yours.
Mm-hmm. Right. So just like, why not?
Snow White and the Huntsman officially cut Snow White. So Snow White and the Huntsman 2 will not have that boring ass chick from Twilight, Kristen Stewart, in it.
Good, because nobody wanted that. Yep. Nobody wanted Snow White and the Huntsman again anyway, but at least you're getting, you know, Chris Hemsworth can, you know, it's a lot better than Kristen Stewart, so.
Yeah, they're going to try to make it like a prequel or some shit.
That's even better.
Apparently in the Snow White and the Huntsman, like, they talk about his past of, like, his family got murdered, and he wants to get revenge and shit, so they're just going to do that story, so. Chris Hemsworth running around with an axe. No Kristen Stewart to bore you. So, I wonder if they should just call it The Huntsman then.
Right.
Because I feel like if she's not in it.
Why have Snow White?
She really, life came at her fast.
Yeah, she's a terrible actress. Didn't she get caught fucking that dude?
She fucked, the dude that was like the producer for some movie she was on.
It was for Snow White and The Huntsman.
Yeah, and that dude
was fucking him, I think.
And that dude was married and shit. Like, it was real bad. And then Joan Rivers recently made a joke about it in her book, and she tried to sue Joan Rivers and have the book taken off shelves. And I forget what I was listening to, but they said like the lawyer of Joan Rivers and the lawyer of Kristen Stewart like went to college together. And basically, when they talked on the phone, they just laughed and squashed it. Like,
right.
Like, this, they were basically like, this is ridiculous, right? It's like, yeah, that's ridiculous. So they dropped the suit.
Because it's dumb. Yeah. This shit happened.
Listen, I don't like Joan Rivers, but nah, dude, you're not winning that one, yo.
Yeah, it's a comedy book anyway. It's nothing, like, I forget the excerpt, but it was basically like, she blew her way to the top or something. Like, you can't stop people from saying that. Sorry.
And you can't be mad if it actually happens.
Right. Not to mention you did it, so.
I'm gonna be straight with you. If I had the option, even as I am now as a dude, to blow my way to the top. That's not an option for folks like us. Right. That's not a real option. And hey, I sleep my way to the top if it can get me even like halfway to my like financial goals.
Shit.
That's what Brad Pitt did.
I'm not. Hey, I would have been approved maybe in high school, but life changes, man.
Yeah. Also, like, you do realize when you sue somebody like this, you're only making the book get more notoriety than it was. Like, people are either going to get her book or not, and then you start going, "Well, she's talking about me." It's like, well, what did she say? She said I was sucking dick to get to the top.
Huh. Really?
That's
what page? Well, like,
if it goes to court, facts gotta come in. It's like, then the judge is gonna be like, well, did you?
Dog. Right.
And then it's gonna be a public record.
Right.
Right.
Now it's official.
Now your dick sucking is a public record. Yo, come on, yo. Transcript. Could you read back the last transcript? It's like, yeah, she put his penis into his mouth, into her mouth. And she got the job. It's like, oh.
Yeah, it says here, the excerpt says, many stars only do one thing well. Of course, the best one-trick pony is Kristen Stewart, who got her whole career by being able to juggle a director's balls.
Oh, Lord.
Yep, so.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you can't stop that.
Yep. Oh, man.
So, there was a rumor that, there was a girl attacked at Comic-Con because she was found on the side of the road, passed out and injured. She was 17 years old and like dressed up in a costume. Mm-hmm. And you know, with all the stuff that Comic-Con has been dealing with sexual harassment and the reputation they've been getting, and they've been pretty vigilant about fighting it from everything I've seen, like pamphlets, extra security.
Well, they've been always been good on, going on in person or in general. They've just been very good on making sure that people keep their hands to themselves. I mean, I've seen the videos. They're rough. Like, you get thrown out after paying $200 to get there. Mm-hmm. And you do the wrong thing the first hour in, and you just crying outside for the next.
Just a nigga dressed as Superman outside, like, man, damn.
Right. I didn't mean to. Just.
So they were,
I had to touch it. Yeah.
Like, and so, the thing is, I agree that, you know, I understand being harassed is terrible and it's wrong, blah, blah, blah. But, like, some of the shit that is happening, I honestly don't think you can stop. Like, women are saying at this point, like, I'll wear, like, a Wonder Woman costume and somebody will wait till I, like, drop something and pick it up and they'll try to take a picture of my ass. And you're like, I don't know how you stop that. Like, that's
damn, I never even thought of that, to be honest.
Yeah, like, that's a level of, like, because that's a person who's like, I do want to be photographed. I don't mind if people taking pictures with me and cosplay. I don't mind that. But then there's guys who purposely are, like, trying to get creep shots that aren't, you know, like, you know, from all kinds of weird angles and shit like that. And they're like, you know, it's creepy. But I think that's kind of a victory that that's the thing. Like, we're at this point now where we're just worried about dudes being creepy. Like, at least we can, like, work with that. They're not putting their hands on you. They're not, you know, doing anything like that. So,
take the wins where you can get it, I guess.
Right. I mean, it's as close as you're going to get, I think. I mean, hopefully.
Which is sad, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe we'll get further along another time, but I don't know how, right?
And something that I didn't think about until Chris brought it up on his show is that how many of these people don't have shit to do with the convention? Like, right. How many of these people, just because it's open, so you have people that are outside that are there, but they're not there for the event.
And they're harassing the girls.
Yeah, right. You don't, like I said, I almost got my shoes stolen while camped out by somebody who had nothing to do with the fucking event.
Damn.
There's a lot of these motherfuckers out here, yo. So.
And they do make you, like one of the orientation classes, like, part of that is like, hey, this is the rules. Like, don't do this, don't do that. Anyway, come to find out, this girl was not injured by anyone at Comic-Con or anything. She fell. She was on her way back and she fell down and hurt herself. And I mean, that's good news. You know what I mean? Like, she's found in the pool area of a hotel.
Shit.
Yeah, where Comic-Con is held. After a 4-day investigation, they found out that her injuries was from a fall from about 6 feet.
Damn.
Ooh, how she fall 6 feet?
They did arrest a 29-year-old in connection with it. He attended Comic-Con with the teenager and is accused of sexual contact with a minor. So it's not, but it's not a, you know, I was harassed by nerds at Comic-Con thing that, you know, people were thinking like she was walking home and got beat up or some shit like that. Or
I mean, it is sad that we had to jump to that conclusion right away, but I mean, at least, this is going to sound awful, but at least it was a fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
That's not, I mean, that's not the best sentence scenario I've said in my life.
Yeah, I understand that. And also, even the people that are coming there that are not associated, it's one of those things where the people that are coming know. Like, most of them have been informed and educated, and Comic-Con is doing a good job. But the people that are not associated and not coming for the event, they're like an X factor. You just don't know what you get with them people.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but there's a thing with Comic-Con, or with any major thing, the bad apples are always made to seem like they're way more or louder or more frequent than everybody else. Like I said, I went to Comic-Con and I had a great time and I didn't see really any of this kind of stuff. Same thing with, you know, you hear guys always talk about like the fake nerd girls at Comic-Con. That's bullshit.
Right.
I went to Comic-Con, I went to San Diego, and like most of the attendees that were women there, you could tell they were there for specific event, and there was no Twilight or Harry Potter or anything that year. So these are people that are here for, like, you know, quote unquote nerd shit. So, you know, people always focus on the stuff that makes the narrative and not, you know, the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation is almost everybody who goes to Comic-Con is respectful and looks out for each other. You know, like I said, I lost my damn hot spot in a ballroom and somebody turned that shit in. Right. You know, that did not have to happen. You know, they could have easily walked away with that shit.
sold it on the internet, got some money for it, they turned that shit in. You know, yeah. And I ended up finding a group of people to camp out with for Hall H. They took me in, didn't know who the fuck I was. You know, we ended up becoming friends. So it's just like, you can have a good experience. Most people have a good experience right. at Comic-Con without dealing with this shit. It's unfortunate that there's a small group of assholes to do that, but I feel like those small group of assholes are there everywhere. You know?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree. And it was, you know, good news to know that it wasn't some random Comic-Con shit.
Right.
My man Kevin, is it Kevin Feige or Kevin Feige?
I think it's Feige.
Oh, really? Okay. Kevin Feige. He's a Marvel, like,
Feige, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, he's a leader of Marvel Studios. And he actually addressed, like, the media and talked about a bunch of stuff with the movies. And I was extremely impressed. And I appreciated him, like, you know, talking about it, cause he talked about, you know, hey, we got a bunch of movies coming out. He announced that, I think it was like 8 or some shit, like some crazy number.
Yeah, yes. Like,
it's
so good.
And then, like, he talked about diversity in the movies. He talked about having a movie with, women leads and, like, all this stuff. And then, like, because no one can just take a press conference, tell you what was said and leave it at that anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All these think pieces came out and they were, some of them misquoted the shit out of him. Like one of them said, he's not sure when a female superhero movie will arrive, but they tried to make it sound like that meant he was against it. So then the next article is written like why Kevin Feige doesn't understand that women could make money in Hollywood. And you know, Lucy just made a lot of money and all this shit. Well, come to find out, they've already been working on a Black Widow movie before. They just didn't, they didn't finish it, but one of the people that was working on it was also wrote Guardians of the Galaxy. So, like, they are doing stuff. They have pokers in the fire. And I think with the way that they do stuff, the way that they portray characters on screen, it's kind of unfair to, like, really try to hold them to some task that you, like, some level that you don't hold anyone else to.
Right. Because,
like, another thing that they did, like, they've been so responsible with the way they portray Black people in their movies.
Or women.
Yeah.
Or any minority.
Yeah, and women, and, like, a lot of shit, right? So, like, I think Chris actually wrote a post about, like, because, you know, he was getting attacked for, like, there's not enough women. And Chris wrote a post where, like, obviously these people don't follow the Marvel Universe or the TV and movie stuff because there's a lot of strong women involved in all, at every level of Marvel. And the same thing with, like, Black characters, man. Like, I have yet to go to these Marvel movies and walk out like, really, man, they thought Tyrese was gonna be.
Oh, you know, you're not gonna get that.
Yeah, or just like, they have a Black dude and his only role is to be like, listen up, you jive suckers, you know, like, like every character, you know, like, I remember thinking, when they cast Anthony Mackie, I was like, I'm not a big Anthony Mackie fan. I hope he can do the part well. And that's it. When I walked out of Captain America, I was like, that was fucking good, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I was really impressed with how they wrote him and how he played the character. So, yeah, man, I just think he's catching a lot of flack for being a white man in charge of a bunch of shit. And then the fact that he even addressed any questions about diversity meant that they were going to shit on him no matter what his answer was. Like, pretty much their whole response to any of his answers is, why the fuck is it not out yet? And it's like, well, let's think about this. Why isn't a Black Panther movie out yet? Why isn't a Black Panther comic book, you know, the top, I don't know, 10 comic books in Marvel? Like, you know, it takes a while to set up the other shit. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the comic books that they have made into successful movies were not their best selling comic books.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's like, the entire Marvel plan has been about adding stuff to, comics that aren't necessarily the most interesting to people and turning them into the most interesting movies.
Yeah. Building a universe.
Right.
It comes down to building, like, you can't just, I mean, yeah, I would love a Black Panther movie tomorrow, but it's not going to happen because, like, you have to establish the Avengers West Coast, mm-hmm. X-Men, then Storm can go to Africa, and then maybe that whole, you know, story arc when they get married and what in Wakanda and all that other stuff can happen. It's not going to happen overnight. The problem really isn't them. It's us.
Right. And not to mention, because you kind of brought up, like, Storm and shit. they can't even use Storm because she's mm-hmm. a part of a different company. So like,
right.
because they sold the rights to like Fox, they have to come up with creative ways to get a Black Panther story on the screen without using some of the things that they can in the comic books. And there's no consideration from that because a lot of these people that are criticizing Marvel movies aren't even fans of the source material in the first fucking
right.
place. They just want to write their like think piece or their hot take.
And then click throughs.
Yeah, just to get the clicks, man. It's really frustrating as a fan, and especially as a Black fan. Like, I don't need you mad on my fucking behalf. I'm okay. Like, these movies are great with me. And I'm sure that if you talk to a lot of women, there's a lot of women that are like, yeah, I don't want just a women's hero movie just because. Like,
right. Make it be perfect. Make it have a purpose.
Yeah.
44% of the audience that went to go see Guardians of the Galaxy last weekend was female. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me Marvel is shitting on women when they're bringing in that kind for a comic, for comic book characters. Nobody, to be honest with you, nobody gave a fuck about.
Right.
And nobody thought yeah. even deserved to have a movie. And then they do a really good job with female characters in there. Funny thing about, cause you were mentioning they can't use Storm. Funny thing about Black Panther, yo, the character was introduced in the Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
They can't
mm-hmm.
use the Fantastic Four either. So it's like, a lot of things that they have with this character, with his origin, how he was introduced in the comic, they don't have access to. So they have to build that story. Here's the thing about that. I actually think that if they, within a year, relaunch, I can see this happening, if they relaunch a Black Panther comic, mm-hmm. the movie's coming soon. Because right. the same thing happened with Guardians of the Galaxy, if you remember.
Yep.
They relaunched Guardians of the Galaxy to kind of reintroduce them, and next thing you know, the movie coming out. Yeah. I would not be surprised if we actually, if when they announce this movie or sometime around the time the movie's announced that they're doing it, they start relaunching that comic book to try to generate sales for it, and it actually might be good then.
So and I also wouldn't be surprised because they didn't name fucking like more than half of the movies are unnamed of the, like, these are the movies that we are coming out with. People don't even fucking know. You know what I mean?
One of the articles that I read that was complaining about this shit wrote their article. It was like for Slate or something like that. And that's like all these people just want to be mad. They wrote it for dude right. wrote the article and then blatantly lied in the article when he said that Marvel has already confirmed and announced all those dates. And I was like, no, they haven't. They've confirmed two of them, Cap 2 and Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. Even Doctor Strange, which we know is coming out, has not actually been confirmed on a date.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, there's like seven other movie dates that don't have not been confirmed. You are lying to people just to get them mad, which makes me mad. To go back to the Black Panther thing, like, it makes me so mad when I hear Black people go, man, you know, no, Marvel's afraid to do it, and I won't be satisfied until I see it. It's like, shut the fuck up.
Right.
Like, yeah. I hear it all the time, you know, because remember, like, a couple years ago when a bunch of Black actors were going around saying that they were mean, they wanted to do Black Panther, and people were confused and like they were getting mad. It's like, when has Marvel ever done any kind of casting that makes you think Tyrese would be fucking
Black Panther? Right.
They've never done some shit like that. What would make you and think not to that mention, Bow Wow would be fucking Black Panther?
Not to mention, most of those quotes came from being asked the question, not because they were like, yo, I just came out of a casting call for Black Panther. It was like, hey, Idris Elba, would you be Black Panther? He's like, I mean, sure, I consider that. Like,
this nigga, was it Morris Chestnut?
Yep.
After he shot Kick-Ass 2, was like, I guess I'm going to start reading Black Panther now. People lost their fucking minds. It was like, this motherfucker hadn't even talked to anybody at Marvel. He was just saying some shit to get people riled up. And I'm just like, well, you guys stop. Like, at what point, like, my question to people is, at what point does Marvel have to, what does Marvel have to do to prove to you guys that they know what the fuck they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
What more do they have to fucking do? You know, all these people that do this shit, I bring up the fact that, hey, listen, you guys never bring up the fact that Jessica Jones is the next movie after Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
They did not have to do Jessica Jones. They could have done The Punisher. They could have done Blade. They could have done, they fucking could have done Ghost Rider. Come on, be honest, yo. Who the fuck is Jessica Jones?
Right.
All right? They're doing Jessica Jones. They're doing Luke Cage. People always forget about that. They're bringing if you're bringing Luke Cage to Netflix, and I don't give a fuck if you say, well, it's just Netflix. It's not just Netflix.
Not anymore.
They're making those.
Yep, not anymore, dog. It was Netflix 5 years ago. Now Netflix series are getting fucking Emmys. So,
right.
Yeah, I like.
Gosh, you made me tingle with that whole Luke Cage thing, man. Luke Cage is
Right.
Right. So yeah, if you're going to do Luke Cage, you don't tell me they're not going to do Black Panther if they're doing Luke Cage.
Right. Dog. And not to mention, a lot of people don't know they're going to, the Danny Rand that they're going to have as Iron Fist is Asian American, not just a white dude. Oof. Like, these are little things that matter to me, and they're doing them with no pressure. Like, no one's sitting around going, hey, man, does it really make sense that a blonde, blue-eyed white dude is the best karate man in the world? Like, nobody, there wasn't a petition. This is just shit where they were like, yo, if we're going to bring these characters to the big screen, we need to change some shit. Right. And I like that, and I think putting their feet to the fire is just so, like, it's just to get the outrage, to get the clicks. It's not even about, like, you don't even have a real expectation that they will fuck this up. You're just doing it to start shit.
And that's the most insulting thing. That's the insulting thing to me as a minority, that these motherfuckers, a lot of women, of them are white, are writing these articles just to get people riled up, and they have no facts to back it up. I'm like, especially as me as a black man, I said this in my article, as me as a black man, I should be more pissed off than any white woman talking about unfair representation. Because there are so many women in comic movies these days with Marvel that you have more characters and face time than we do.
Right.
So, like, then you get TV shows. Like, I said this before. I said it on Twitter. The three people that Nick Fury trusts the most, women.
Right.
Agent May, fucking Maria Hill, and Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow.
Yep.
Like, don't tell me that women are not being treated fairly by Marvel. You got half the agents on Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. are women, and are good. The character Agent May is a character, like, I can't remember who it was. One of the articles was complaining about how they didn't like Guardians of the Galaxy because, you know, a woman can never get to play certain roles that men get to play. And I'm like, well, what about Agent May on the TV show? That role is almost exclusively for men.
Male, yes.
The ass-kicking specialist, yes, who can have sex with other agents without emotion.
Right.
That's not a character that women get to play.
Mm-mm.
So it's just frustrating and annoying because it's almost like they're belittling the real issue with Hollywood has with this by making it a pet topic. Because this shit never really comes up when Fox completely shits on a character like Storm.
Come on now. Mm-hmm.
You know, it never comes up. Like, you know, we've gotten Storm, who is this all-powerful mutant, who's the leader of the X-Men, who should be better than fucking Cyclops, and she gets treated with so much disrespect. I don't never see these fucking white people writing these fucking think pieces about how badly Storm's treated. Don't forget that shit. It's just, like, somebody was talking about, oh yeah, well, so the people did talk about it, and they were bitching about the fact that Fox used Logan instead of a Kitty Pryde. Even though I get people's complain about that, but there's a logical explanation for why they had to use Logan instead. Mm-hmm. They actually explained that, so I gave them a pass on that because they actually had a logical explanation. She was too young.
Yeah,
you can't send her back as a fetus. What the fuck? So people got more mad about that than they did about the fact that Storm has been treated like a secondary character in, what, 4 X-Men movie now?
Yep, and she's supposed to be, like, the leader of one half of the team.
Right.
She's a badass!
She's a badass. To the you control the elements. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like there's... I mean, your speech is really getting me enraged about this whole thing. Because I'm just sitting here like, man, I'm stewing. So, like, Storm is such a noble character from conception to where she is now.
Yeah.
You know, and just Marvel's history in general with how they treated race was in the 70s when he started bringing in Luke Cage, Storm, when he made Storm more, I don't want to say more ethnic.
Radical?
But more radical. When they allowed her to become more radical. When he brought in Black Panther. When he brought in Cloak and Dagger. Interracial relationships in the 70s.
Right.
I mean, now they're, I guess they did in the comics and they bided their time. Now it's the films. Now they're the ones that are pushing things better than most indie films are doing. They're pushing race.
Thank you. Oh my God.
Think about this, dog. We had James Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
Like a character that has switched actors and both times, no problem with the portrayal of that character. Never got the black friend, black stereotype from it. You got Falcon, obviously, in Captain America. Nick Fury, who put the whole shit together, black man. Mm-hmm. Heimdall, who they switched the race to a black person and caught major shit for that. So for me, it's been really weird watching people try to be like, to take Marvel to task for diversity when they already are beyond the pale for switching shit up. They don't have to switch any of this shit up, and they did. Like, it's very annoying to watch these film critics try to find an angle to diss these movies, because these movies are making so much money that they feel like they have to knock these movies.
Well, here's the thing that really pisses me off, because you know, we just brought up indie films. When award season comes around, it's gonna be these lily white motherfuckers and these little love stories that everybody loved and got good reviews on. They're gonna be up for reviews. You're never gonna see a black person in that kind of role. Like, you know, we always make that joke about how black people only win these awards when they're being a criminal, they're being a whore, or a slave, right?
Right, or the help,
Right, or the help. We never get a role like, you'll never see it. Why couldn't they have done The Fault in Our Stars and have been two black people?
Dude, I'll go one better. They just wrote a fucking article last week saying everybody needs to get off of Woody Allen's case about diversifying his cast.
Right.
But Marvel is different though, right? And that was the thing I said about the lady who wrote about Lucy and said, well, why is a blonde, blue-eyed woman need to be Lucy? It could be anybody, right? And, she was a white lady who wrote this article. I was like, well, why are you trying to give black people the shitty movies? Like, where's this article about Blue Jasmine? Cause Lucy's a shitty movie. I don't want Lupita in Lucy.
Right.
Ruining her fucking career. And now we're like, I hope she gets another chance to make up.
But Scarlett Johansson's gonna be able to bounce back.
Right. Why can't they find somewhere to fit her into American Hustle? Which has no black people in it. Like, why can't we find a way to fit her into, you know, the Leonardo DiCaprio's movie about Wall Street last year? Like, we wouldn't even question the idea of putting a black person in that shit. It's like, well, that's crazy.
But why couldn't they play Gravity?
Right. It's just because they don't take these comic book movies seriously, and they feel like it's a plaything where you can make these little think pieces about, like, why don't we put some black people in it? Because I hate these motherfucking movies anyway. Fuck you. They're already handling their business when it comes to diversity. And second of all, write this shit about something that you like, because that's what you're doing. You're writing it about movies that you don't think, that you don't have very high esteem.
Right.
Like, you know, the other woman wrote the article where she was like, why do they only have attractive women as aliens in Guardians of the Galaxy? And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's Hollywood. Where are the ugly people, period? Like, you just want to fuck this movie up because you don't care.
Dude, I love the one point where, I don't know if it's the same article or not, where she was complaining about the shots of Zoe Saldana in the tight leather, and I'm like, first of all, the costume that she wears in the movie is 10 times more respectable than anything in the comics that they have for Gamora. You know?
Right.
All
right.
So she's basically wearing a Kim Kardashian one piece swimsuit in the comics. All right. So that's number one. Number two, why is it that women can't be sexy in these movies, but men can be?
Right. Like, she even used the word, Chris Pratt said he didn't get G.I. Joe because he came in and he was fat.
Right.
And he said he wanted that part, and he almost didn't audition for Guardians of the Galaxy because he was like, it's embarrassing when you go try out and they look at you and just glaze over like, nope, you don't look the part. So, he had to go hot it up, right? And she kept using this term. It was normatively hot.
Right.
What the fuck does that mean, dog? Like, so you want to cast an ugly person? Like, and who's deciding who's attractive and ugly? Are you saying, like, if Gabrielle Sidibe would have got it, you would have been okay with that? And if so, why would you be okay with that? Because she's ugly? Is that, like, what is your fucking point? Other than
mind you.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'm just going to say, what is your point other than to say, hey, this movie made $95 million, so now I can shit on it.
All right. Mind you, Gamora's a fucking assassin who is supposed to be genetically modified. It's like, she's supposed to be fucking looking like this, you asshole.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
like,
look.
Every movie that we had, like, with Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor, Captain America, all these movies, Superman, every movie that's supposed to have a big bruiser in it, you get a scene with this motherfucker with the shirt off.
Right.
It's every single fucking movie. They do it every time. And women don't complain about that. They don't talk about something. Well, you know, they're really shaming these guys and they're shaving off their bodies.
Right, fucking Chris, that's right.
They're going to show us and we can see Zoe Saldana's butt. If you check the fucking trailers for Guardians of the Galaxy, there's a scene in there they don't even have in the movie. The scene where she's covering her breast and they're showing her back.
Yeah.
That's not even in the goddamn movie.
Right.
Because they knew what would fucking happen. So they took the shit out. It's like, you assholes are just sitting here bitching them. It just drives me fucking insane.
Yeah.
And, the power fantasy isn't just one way like that. Yeah, you have, like, who'd want to be Superman if he had all those powers but still had the gut to go with
them? Right. Right.
Like, that's not what I want to see for myself. Like, okay, I can fly and all that, but...
Yeah. I'm going to make that movie, yo. I'm going to make that movie.
Yeah, but I just drank a six-pack.
I'm going to make that movie with all ugly people.
Right. And you know what? She'll write, that lady will write a glowing review, and you will make $0 million.
Right.
Because nobody wants to see that shit, man. Everyone wants to get all altruistic with the casting and all this shit. And I feel you. Somebody should have progress and all that shit. But are we just going to skip past the fact that you're still selling something? And niggas don't want to see a bunch of ugly people in space. Mm-hmm. They don't want to see, the same reason white people don't want to see black Jesus. Right. You know what I mean? Like people don't want to see it, and my job is to make the money. You push it where you can, but sometimes you can't, dog. And, Marvel's doing a great job. Let me move on to the next thing. Deadpool test footage leaked. Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, it's everything that, we really need, and he needs it too. By the way,
yeah, Ryan Reynolds needs that shit.
He needs this really bad. Rhett Reese is the co-writer of it, and I believe he started a Kickstarter to get money to make this movie. Look, dog, you can have my money, dog. Please make this movie. It was so good. So yeah, I'm into Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds. That's a match made in heaven.
Also, I'm happy that Ryan Reynolds was upset about the version of Deadpool that they put out that they made him do. What was that movie again?
Wolverine.
Origins. Yeah.
Origins. Yeah, it was that one. He was like, you know, he was hyped about it, and then over the time of the filming and whatnot, the changes were being made on the fly, and he's just like, well, I already agreed, I already signed the contract, I can't say no, but
yeah,
it's dude, awful.
I'm glad that he knows how to do it because if anybody that's seen that test footage, you immediately go, oh. Ryan Reynolds actually knew how to play the character.
Yep.
He just got directed to play it a different way. And that's why
they fucking, you have the merc with the mouth and you fucking sew his mouth up.
Dude, what? Right. And he was funny in the first half.
Oh yeah, he was killing in the first half.
That's the other thing.
He was killing it.
Laughing my ass off till they fucked him up, man. God, what a terrible movie. Microsoft made an ad that implies that they're losing the PlayStation 4, but they're still fighting. See, this why y'all fail.
Why are they doing this?
What are you doing? Who does? Like, when Sony was the third highest selling console last generation for most of it, they never put out a fucking ad like, hey guys, it's time, it's the fourth quarter and we're down big, but it's time to step up. Like, just fucking sell your console and leave it at that, dude. No one's gonna buy this shit because Sylvester Stallone was talking. Let me play this bullshit.
Man. Oh God, don't do that.
I'm sorry, I have to do it so y'all can hear. It's only 30 seconds, but God damn it, just what a fail for Microsoft, man.
A lot of it is that I think that they pay attention to these fucking console wars that don't mean a goddamn thing. The system's gonna be around for 50 years.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Well, I want you to understand something. To me, being perfect, it's not about winning. Being perfect is about being able to look your friends in the eye and know that you didn't let them down because you told them the truth. And that truth is, there wasn't one more thing that you could have done. If you can do that, then you're perfect.
So that's one version.
What was the point of that?
Yeah, that's one version. Another one.
That's funny to me.
They got another one from the Rocky film that they used. To do the audio. The first one came from like a coach.
Oh,
let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It will beat you to your knees if you let it. Nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yeah.
You know what? Mm-hmm. I don't mean no harm. Everybody on Xbox advertising team and promotion team, is they need to be fired.
Yeah.
Because they do a terrible job at pushing and promoting and talking about their product.
Yeah. I'm waiting on them to be like, people need to start editing that commercial and putting in their own speeches.
That'd be greatness.
Yeah, like, that's what would be dope, man. Like, if people put, like, comedy movies and shit, like...
You know what would be funny? Dave Chappelle's skit from when Charlie Murphy got beat up.
Yeah.
Yes. He says, what are you going to do about my legs?
Yeah, Charlie Murphy!
Yeah. What you do about my legs, Charlie Murphy? Yeah. They should never give y'all niggas money. Xbox One.
Yeah, they need to put... There was one where I think Family Guy was doing a speech, and they was like, did George Bush give up when they didn't have weapons of mass destruction? Like, they didn't do shit like that, man. Like, the Animal House speech, like... That could be funny, but not what they did. That was terrible.
Very.
Twitch, following in the path of Spreecast.
Right.
Twitch is restricting, like, they got to go. They're trying to, like, monetize this shit a little bit, getting a bit restrictive. They're taking out any copyrighted, like, music claims. They will allow you to appeal it now, so that's new. But they announced some changes, man. So people used to, like, sit on there, play music, and, like, talk to their friends and shit.
Are they getting sued or some shit? Like,
they'll take the audio out. No, they're not getting sued, but they're just, you know, music is a little bit more litigious than video games. Because here's the thing. Your channel is playing video games and having people watch. So why would playing music be any different, I guess, for me? Like,
that's going to be difficult.
Yeah, like, I don't understand the difference between the two.
Yeah, and it's they're music also, in the games, right? They're going to take that out, too?
Mm-hmm.
And what if you're playing, like, Grand Theft Auto 5 and stuff like that? That's got, licensed music in the game itself.
Oh, yep. So we're just going to be silence and just shooting?
Yeah, and they've been doing it. They've been doing it really heavy-handedly. So they've already gone through and muted a lot of people's shit that actually didn't violate the policy.
Like, oh God!
Like, it'll just be like someone mad. Like, you might be humming a song, and then the program picks up whatever. So
you know what you gotta do if you're on there? You gotta go out there and you gotta sing the happy birthday song, yo.
Oh yeah, that shit copyrighted like shit.
Oh man!
But yeah, the changes were effective immediately. They also removed the maximum time limit of highlight videos. They took down an archiving function. So you have to pay for them to archive it for a long time. Like, they used to have a save forever button. That's gone.
Oh man, I gotta check my page. Wow. Damn.
People are gonna start finding something.
How much
else
is it? Cause, you know, Spreecast is going fucking crazy. How much is the Twitch thing to archive?
Give me a second, cause I actually saved that article too, and I just need a second to find it.
Cause I hope we don't get cut off on me saying this, but Spreecast lost their goddamn mind.
Oh man. Oh, come on, man.
and the thing is that don't people think that you're going to find somebody that's going to meet these people's needs and they're just going to switch to something else?
Right. Well, Twitch is a little different because it's like integrated into a lot of people's.
But YouTube bought them out.
Yeah, and it's integrated into like a lot of people's.
That
shit.
Explains it then.
Yeah, YouTube went hard on this like to start.
Yeah.
Like, because a lot of people don't know, like, indie music is no more on YouTube. Like, you can't.
Wow.
Yeah, they took down, like, you need to sign an agreement with them or they take your shit down. So it's kind of, you know, the same thing with this.
Well, couldn't you, to archive your own shows, couldn't you just move them to, isn't there like a move your Twitch video to YouTube?
I don't 100% know, man. I know somebody, I was talking to Aaron from Black Astronaut Podcast, and he was thinking about using Twitch to like live stream his podcast.
And yeah, I was thinking about the same thing.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, the archive function is still going to be like Spreecast, so it's still going to delete it after a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, man. Yeah, and so, yeah,
my first show is gone. I just checked.
Wow, they already got you.
Oh, man.
It was like, you've been out there too long. 48 hours, it's gone. Delete.
Yeah.
Wait, is it 48 hours for it?
No, it's, I want to say 7 days.
Oh, 7 days a week?
Yeah, 7 days. But, you know, still, man, that's a pretty big shift to just kind of throw out there on everybody.
Right. And you don't give anybody a curve. You was like, starting now.
Yeah, so if your shit was out there, it's probably gone now.
Oh, I could imagine the people that are furious.
Yeah.
My feelings are hurt right now.
Yep. they said their partner with software company Audible Magic to scan past and future videos for music owned or controlled.
Wow.
Yep. So, yep.
And that's going to be very boring to watch. So basically, all you're going to hear is gunfighting and the talking. Everything else basically is out of
that. No, it's going to take all the audio off. So talking, all that shit's gone. Because you can't, it's just muting anything to keep them from being sued. So.
Wow.
All right, next story. We're almost done here. Grand Theft Auto, someone made a mod for the PC version where you can rape other players.
As sad as this is, I'm actually surprised it took this long.
Wait, what? For which version?
Grand Theft Auto mods for PC, it appears.
What's a mod?
A mod is when like a programmer like adds something to the code of a video game.
Okay.
Like I saw one for Watch Dogs where you can play as like a little kid.
And not all mods can do so much different stuff. Like some things will make the graphics better, some things will add power, some things add a completely, they'll make a whole game and say, well, we don't have the rights to make it a legit game, but here's a mod of like a whole new 12-hour game in Skyrim or something.
There's a code where you can submerge the entire game underwater, another one where you can ride a UFO. Well, now this new one let's play, and there's like they've added stuff where you can make mods where like your character has the ability to make everyone around them start dancing. So they made a mod apparently where you make people start dancing like they're doing the twerking or back it up, and then your character starts doing sex motions, and it's basically a rape. It says, and the other player can't control it.
Why? Because people are assholes.
Yep. And so they've been making videos and shit like that. Now,
real quick, I think that I haven't done Twitch, but I think you can still export your Twitch videos to YouTube. Okay. So you might be able to record it and then upload it to a YouTube channel and then keep them that way. But don't quote me on that.
Okay. But yeah, it's really weird though because it pretty much is like Grand Theft Auto is evil incarnate. So like it's like I don't know why, but this creeped me out even more than being able to murder somebody, fuck prostitutes, like everything. Like I was like, damn, raping people, that's even, I don't know why, I was like, that's even worse than before.
Take it to the next level.
You
wonder why, because there's some asshole out there that really wanted to do that,
right?
Like it's like, because you know, as bad as it is, Grand Theft Auto is, man, it's all just fun and games. It ain't no really, you know, I can think of a reason why I want to kill somebody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no real good reason to want to rape somebody. It's a different type of thing. And the fact that somebody thought the need to go out there and do a mod for this, we're just like, why? It's just over the top.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what version this is for, because, like, it's not, there's no GTA 5 for PC yet. That comes out a couple months from now.
Let me see. Let me go back and read some more details on the article, because, find out where it's from. Let's see. Kotaku. Is that just in America, or is that, could it already be out somewhere else?
I good question, man, because, the PC version comes out October, November of this month. I mean, this year.
Yeah, it says here, according to online reports and forums, modders have created a few abilities that come together in a specific brand of trolling. Players can use mods to change character models to do anything they like, and some characters choose to turn themselves into pantsless characters using mods. Players can also manipulate other players into doing specific things, all through use of a special menu. Depending on the mods used, but this one in particular has an entire section dedicated to naughty stuff. And then they just go through the videos. Let's see. Today, a Reddit thread appeared, r/Grand Theft Auto 5, where one, yes, Grand Theft Auto 5, where a player described an incident where another player called Deeper in the Ass.
You ought to know. If you see that screen name, run.
It assaulted them. You cannot kill him, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Shit, you can't kill him?
Worse, when he's done, you are stuck doing strip dances. Speaking to Mr. Eric Matilla further, that was his name, they told me the incident happened with a player they had never encountered before. Here's how they described it. How it initially began is my friend was being taken advantage of in a more remote part of the map, which I was unaware of. I went to this area to find out he was not alone. There was this other user, the user in question, in the area. I have never played with this modder, nor am I friends with him, nor were we in a party. This guy was a totally random stranger who just dropped in the free mode session. Quite literally, I and a couple of friends of mine encountered a stranger, and we were raped and forced to strip dance in GTA Online. It was a traumatic life simulator.
That's the weirdest shit.
Wow, because you're like, I don't want to do this shit. I'd rather be doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so but they said, where is it on PSN?
It doesn't say, man. Yeah, he doesn't say where he was playing this. I'm assuming.
Yeah,
it must have been a PC because you can't mod a video.
You can mod some PS3 stuff. You can mod Xbox 360 stuff if you have a USB stick. That's why I'm asking, because I'm like, that's
how somebody got a hold of it. It was a PS3 version.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, that's.
Yep.
Well.
I'll be damn, dog. You can rape him, nigga. They raping her. Hide your kids, hide your wife, bro. Raping people.
Hide your avatars.
Why can't they just kill people like and fuck hookers like respectable GTA 5? Right.
What happened? I remember the days when you would have to pay a prostitute, have her get out the car, and then beat the shit out of her, take your money back.
Money back.
These kids now, man. Good
kids nowadays.
Fucking losers, man.
So sad to see. Venom, they're coming out with a Venom and Carnage movie. Did you guys already know this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're a little too late in my book, personally.
Yeah.
They lost my respect with Spider-Man 3, because Venom should have been his whole storyline in itself.
Oh, man, they fucked that Venom up, dog.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm cool with this, because they need to redeem it, so.
Yeah, Topher Grace was the worst, dog. There's no way they can do it any worse than Topher Grace. In Spider-Man 3. Spider-Man is one of those things where even if I start going, this might be a bad idea, by the time I see a trailer, I'll probably be okay with it. I needed to look like Venom, dog. It needed, and Carnage is going to be in it too. But I wonder if Spider-Man is going to be in it at all.
Well, that's the thing, that because, you know, they still got that. The Sinister Six movie, I think, is 2016.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how much of Spider-Man they're actually going to put in some of this.
And they're thinking about making a movie with a female lead. I'm assuming it's going to be Black Cat, because that's what was in the last movie on the low. Right. So, yeah, I don't know, man. This is very interesting what they're doing with the Spider-Man universe. I like how they're splitting it up. We'll see what happens.
I think people forget, because even with, we talked about this with Amazing Spider-Man 2, I don't think people realize the reason why they shoot the films like they do, where they don't give you all the story in one film, because Sony has to do this. All they have is Spider-Man. Right. So they're going to have to be, if you think about it, more like comic books, in that you get pieces of the story through each movie, where you're not going to get a whole complete story, because they can't do that.
Right.
You can do that with Cap. You can do a self-contained Cap. Or you can do a self-contained Iron Man story. Can't really do that with Spider-Man, because everything's got to tie together in everything, because that's all they have. So yeah. I'm interested in seeing what Sony does with it. So
people are upset because a rumor leaked that Superman will be kind of seen as the bad guy a little bit in the Superman vs. Batman Dawn of Justice.
And that makes sense. The motherfucker comes and he's... family comes and destroy the earth. Yeah, you would have some backlash. They're like, people gonna be like, yay, Superman!
Right, and these are the same people.
Complained about that last fucking movie, though.
That's what I was gonna say. I don't understand how these. I actually think what's happening here is that people are so mad they're not getting the Christopher Reeves version of Superman anymore.
Right.
That they have skipped over the idea that Nolan and Snyder do know how to make a story, and that they may have done, not, I mean, for me, I'm not saying may, but for them, they think may, right? They may have possibly done the first Superman movie that way on purpose. And it was part of a bigger plan. And it wasn't just, you know, Clark Kent shows up and saves the day, and he's, Oklahoma bred, perfect guy from day one. Like, he's gonna go through a character arc. He's gonna go through a story of, a guy who, you know, wasn't a perfect hero when he showed up. And I liked it. And people were even speculating. I remember after was like, well, where's Batman in this world? Probably pissed.
Right.
He's probably gonna show up and be like, the fuck are you doing, dog? Like, this is not how you save a city.
Yeah, I mean, the whole point of Batman being in Superman's life anyway, for those that follow the comic, they didn't get along when he first started, and he's like, I'm human. At the end of the day, I'm still human, and you metahumans, you're scary.
Yep.
And that dynamic is going to be, I hope it's going to be well done in this Superman.
That's one of the best mix. One of the best things about Batman is his complicated relationship with the Justice League. Like, I remember one time he showed up to Cadmus and why am I tanking her name again? Not Heller.
Waller.
Waller, yeah, Waller was there, and he was like, the fuck are y'all doing? Y'all got like a clone of Superman, y'all have like all these other secret projects to take us down to Justice League, and she was like, y'all have a big ass gun floating around the earth aimed at the earth. Like, what the fuck? Like, y'all have a tower that can teleport y'all anywhere, and you live with a bunch of superpower beings. What are we supposed to do? And right. Batman was like, valid, and left.
Because, you know, his whole thing is, he's on the Justice League to keep an eye on these motherfuckers.
Right.
Like, can you, like, and this is why I don't, like, I feel so, I know we're going to talk about it, I feel so bad for WB, because I feel like they can't win. Because people are going to scrutinize them so much for everything they do with these characters, not realize that the old idea of the Justice League and these characters and Batman and Superman, all these, are pretty fucked up.
Right.
They don't really work unless you really think about it. And that's why I loved Man of Steel so much. It made it seem valid. You have two superpowered beings. Guess what's going to happen? The fucking city's going to get fucked up, you assholes.
Right.
Nobody's going to go, hey, guys, can we take this to the moon? Because I don't want to get these buildings fucked up. No, they're going to fight right the fuck there. It doesn't fucking matter. People go, well, Superman wouldn't do that. Yeah, Superman would fucking do that shit because he's fighting a fucking other superpower being. It's just like, come on. So,
and
this, when that movie ended and people go, well, I can't, they did all this destruction. They didn't even care. It's like, how do you know? How do you know? Like, some of the things that got destroyed in there were Wayne Enterprise stuff. That wasn't by accident.
Right.
You know, Lex Luthor stuff got fucked up in there too. That wasn't by accident. What makes you think that that's not going to be a major part of the next goddamn movie?
That's what made, as I got older reading comics, Superman became more corny until they made him more real.
Yes.
With him having to struggle with, look, at the end of the day, I'm not human. Superman was basically the black kid in the all-white prep school.
Mm-hmm.
And he always had to, you know, had to act a certain way. He had to, you know, how a black kid would act white to make sure that he doesn't scare his friends when he's at home. You know, make sure, this guy can play basketball. He's jumping higher than everybody else. So whatever stereotype they have for him, like, I started to get it. Then Lex Luthor became less of a bad guy in my eyes, because Lex was like Batman with the money and the wealth, but he was more jealous. Like, Batman's like, no, you need to be contained just in case some shit happened. Lex is like, no, you're like, I want to be you.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want to, like, I want to show you that humans are better than you.
Yep.
You know, and Lex is not so evil to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's just scared.
Yeah,
and I would be too. I mean, I put that in my comedy where I do a joke about, you know, we all want to be heroes, and that would be nice. But if on this earth right now, where we sit, if there were superheroes and villains and aliens that we knew could land on this planet, and Martian manhunters,
Why would you want to live in Gotham? Why would you want to live in Metropolis? Why would you? Your insurance, first of all, would be off the charts.
Chain.
Where, you know, where would you call in for like, if your car got thrown by Superman into some robot? You know, who are you going to call the city and just be like, hey, charge. Someone's going to have to fix this shit. Because right. I got to get to work tomorrow. You know, what kind of call are you going to have when you go home from work? It's like, oh, by the way, baby, I hope you didn't cook dinner. The Joker poisoned the water supply.
Yeah, they never tell you that. They never tell you that property tax in Metropolis is 97%.
Right. I mean, that's the thing that I always just say. I said about Man of Steel is that people all of a sudden now want to complain about the destruction. I'm like, the destruction's always been there. Right. You just never care because we can never really show it in a realistic way.
Right.
Because you watch that first Superman movie. The second Superman movie where they fight Zod, they're fighting in the middle. He's fighting three Kryptonians in the middle of the goddamn city.
Right.
Said, their budget was shit, so they couldn't show you anything. Mm-hmm. So it was okay to show Superman saving people. But in reality, when Superman gets knocked through a building and that building falls down, how the fuck is he going to also then save people, all the people that are in that building at the same time? He can't.
Right. Through the building.
You know, he's just one person. Well, through even the building, if the super people. Mind you.
Yeah, through the building. Yeah.
Through the building, and the building crumbles. The top half falls over into the street. The bottom half just, you know, just demolishes straight down to the ground.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll give them credit for this in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie because they did that. They're fighting on the roof, and something falls and it starts crushing cars underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's the one time I was like, you know, that's actually smart because they never really show that in other films, and people just think when shit falls off of buildings. You know, it's always
into a black hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just falls. It's like, no, in reality, when this shit falls off of a tall fucking building, it's going to crush some shit and people might die. You know, it's just, it drives me crazy that people think that it's that Zack Snyder was wrong to show that, hey, yeah, man, the world engine basically made downtown Metropolis look like a crater.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, yeah. And the people are like, well, why didn't Superman stop him? I was like, well, Superman was on the other side of the fucking world.
Stopping the other world engine part.
Right. Yep. So it's like, if anything, that gives you an idea of why you need the Justice League. Yeah. Because he's just one superhero. Yep. So you need multiple of them. So when you have a threat this big, they can save the world.
And
so
not, like, I mean, not even to mention, this isn't necessarily about the Justice League.
Right.
This is just people being like, okay, who is this guy? We were not aware of him before. What happened to Metropolis? And, you know, like they said, basically the quote that everybody's getting upset about was, he said, there's a very anti-Superman theme to the film, which includes people marching in the streets and protest against Superman.
And that makes sense.
Right.
But rightfully so. I mean, I would march right now. Like I said, if it happens right now in our time today, if it was real, I would just be like, what's to stop this dude to just. Yeah, being a superhero is great, but what's to stop that dude to just, hey, Romaine, I heard you were talking shit. Damn you, fucking super hearing.
Yeah. And
get it over with, you know?
And the thing about it, people act like a Superman today wouldn't put a world in just fucking panic.
Right.
People act like everybody would be fine with it, everybody would be cool with it. People wouldn't get mad that a whole fucking city got destroyed and everybody would just go on about their lives. That's not realistic.
Yeah, so this dude wrote a whole article about like why he shouldn't be the bag. Like,
you don't know why it shouldn't be the script.
Huh?
Yeah.
They don't know the script. Why are you writing an article already and you don't know the fucking script?
You don't even know the script.
Right, and he's speculating like shit, man. Like, some of the stuff he's speculating is like, what if he's only inspired more construction workers to clean up his messes? And then he put, if it's the latter, then that's deeply worrying. Superman is the greatest of all superheroes, and the film keeps diminishing that. Like, the film that hasn't even begun shooting yet, or hasn't even been finished shooting yet.
That's funny. That's straight Republican type of, like, hey, Superman has created jobs.
Right.
All of these. But like, they're all like, yeah, they created, and their employment's down like 6%. Yeah, they're all, most of them niggas is dead under that rubble.
this is like those people that said that when George W. Bush said that the Iraqis would greet us as liberators. That's what people want, yo. This is like, he destroyed our city, but you're free now from Zod, so it's okay. What kills me about it is, remember in Man of Steel, they already set it up for this because
the human, the Earth wanted him to turn himself in to Zod. Like, the U.S. military put him in handcuffs.
Yeah, and this, and leave.
Right, and this dude was like, on, yo. This dude was so attached to the Dark Knight, what's the dude who wrote The Dark Knight?
Chris Nolan.
No, the comic book dude, the one who also wrote Watchmen.
Frank Miller?
Yeah, Frank Miller. He was so attached to Frank Miller's version of The Dark Knight, he was like, is this going to be the Superman that works for the government? I don't think so. It's like, well, they're making a fucking movie, dog. They're not trying to recreate it. Like, if Nolan taught us anything, they're not using the comic books to make these movies.
Right.
Like, they're using some inspiration from it, but then they're trying to make it in a more realistic
and
type of way.
Modern version.
Yeah, yep. like they also didn't have Tommy guns in fucking Dark Knight Rises, dog. Like, some of this shit is different. Like, when are y'all, like, I just want folks to accept that it's different. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't. I can't make you like anything, but some of this shit, man, you gotta let the people at least get a chance, cause.
To tell you a story.
I guarantee this Gabe Turow dude will be writing the "Why This Movie Sucked" article when it comes out, cause he's already decided that it will. Like.
Right.
There's no way it could be good, cause if it's good, it makes him look bad. Here's something cool. Some, radio people in Detroit were talking shit, about, you know, cause they're filming the new movie in, Batman vs. Superman in Detroit, which, I mean, honestly, shouldn't they all be grateful? I mean,
right.
Y'all should be on the radio like, this is the best thing ever. Like, yeah. The actual actor who plays Superman might show up faster than the Detroit police.
Right.
apparently there's a talk show host on the radio and they were knocking Aquaman as being useless, which all nerds do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
With this seemingly limited ability to talk to sea creatures and swim really far. So, Zack Snyder actually called in to the radio station.
Oh, Lord.
And defended Aquaman, dog. Yo, man. Zack Snyder catches a lot of flack, man. But, yo, I fuck with this. Cause that's some nerd shit to do, dog. Like, only somebody that actually cares ever defends Aquaman, dog. It's all, we all know that one nerd among mm-hmm. our friends that is like, nah, man, he actually do got superpowers. You think about it, dog. Water right. is way harder to move in than air. Right. So, like, you know, right there, you know, he always doing calisthenics just by default.
And have you ever got stung by a stingray? Come on, dog.
Yeah. Like, Zack Snyder was like, oh, here, I can play it.
Cell phone. Is this Zack Snyder?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Zach, yeah.
This is Zack Snyder.
The Zach.
Yeah, no, I'm on my way to set right now, and I was listening to you guys on the radio. And I just, you guys were disparaging a little bit Aquaman, just a team. I mean, not, it didn't feel
oh,
like.
Oh, yeah, we were wondering. We were questioning why he's involved, yes.
Who he could beat.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't want to, like, give anything away about, you know, movie or anything like that, but I just, you know, Aquaman has some cool abilities, you know, that I think people are like, oh, what? Does he talk to animals? Because that seems like what he does, or fish or whatever. But I think, you know, the cool thing is, I mean, with Aquaman, you know, he's trident, you know, people don't realize that, like, that can actually could cut the flesh of Superman if, you know, they came in contact. That's a thing that's in the canon.
Mm-hmm.
And he can, he's super strong because, of course, he can exist at these super deep depths. So when he comes up here, it's like he's crazy strong. But anyway, not to say he's in my movie or anything like that, but I'm saying he's,
but if he was, those were the cool things.
Pretty bad. He has the potential to be badass. That's all I'm saying.
And now, is this indeed Zack Snyder?
I would just stay out of the water.
Yeah, it is. No, it's me. It's Zach. I called the radio. I was like, Zach, I'm going to set. And the guy, I don't know who it was like, okay, hold on. And
this
I thought,
is the
okay, I'm
director.
I'm never. They're never going to come to it.
Well, now is this going to be? Are we going to be on your radar all the time now while you're in town? I mean, this is appointment listening.
We better not talk ass about the movie.
I know, right? Exactly. So, well, you can just assume that 24 hours a day I'm listening to the radio. So you guys, yeah, want to talk
while you're doing
I'll be
the movie.
Calling in. Although I don't want to encourage you to say stuff, so I will call him.
That well, so, oh, wait, why don't you ask him the question you were asking earlier? Have you has he had any brushes this summer with Ben Affleck?
Yeah, have you seen Ben Affleck at all?
He's been around town this summer.
I have seen him. You know, I do run into him occasionally.
Oh, okay.
Now, what will it take to get Jamie into the movie? We want to get him. We want to get him.
All right,
set.
I don't care about
it's
the rest of this shit.
Dream of
yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, because I was in on Zack Snyder doing the Justice League movie too, because he's also directing that.
Yeah.
I was in on that after I watched him talk about Superman on the Man of Steel Blu-ray extras. If you haven't seen those, you got to watch that. You'll realize that when people say Zack Snyder doesn't care about Superman, they're full of shit. Zack Snyder probably knows more about Superman than your average nerd writing articles about how much he doesn't care about Superman.
Right.
This dude knows a lot about Superman. Right. He is as big of a nerd about this shit as anybody else. He loves this shit. He knows his shit. I'm telling you, I am not fucking worried.
I trust him.
And the thing about it, I'm not going to lie. Just to hear him describe, he was like, he would cut off Superman's flesh. He flashed them. I was like, nigga, I want this movie. Why are you talking to these people on the fucking radio?
I'm telling you, Jason Momoa is going to be fucking Aquaman. I mean, he's been denying it. Everybody's been denying it. I'm pretty much going with he's going to be, if not in Dawn of Justice, in the Justice League movie, he's going to be playing Aquaman. We just don't know when. And if that happens, you can't tell me that motherfucker. You're not going to be able to talk shit about Aquaman after you see Jason Momoa as Aquaman. Yeah,
dog, the fact that this man called into the radio, I cannot reiterate enough. That has gained my undying respect, dude. Because
all the way to the set.
Yeah, from the set. Like, that's some nerd shit to do. Like, I have had this happen to me in real life where someone says something that I wholeheartedly disagree with. But like, and the better part of my valor should have been like, yo, man, just let it go. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
You can't let it slide.
Yeah, and I can't, cause I'm just like, yo, man, that's not true, dog. Cyclops would fucking destroy that. you can't help it.
And you know what? He did it the way a nerd would do it. He walked away first and was like, I'm just gonna leave. I'm just gonna go to the set. I'm gonna just do. Right. You know what? No, fuck this. Pass my phone. Look. I don't know if you know this, but Aquaman can cut the flesh off this nigga. Look, stop.
He said, that's in the book. That's canon.
Right. These motherfuckers had no idea what he was
and you know what?
About, yo.
And you know what? If he was like, that's canon, and they were like, what book? And he would be like, issue this, page that. Now with the artist, that's the writer. Don't play with me.
Right. yo, nothing but respect from this man, period, dog. I didn't know he was like that. Cause I hadn't seen the extras that Chris was talking about. But
you have Man of Steel Blu-ray, right?
Yeah, I got it.
I'm telling you, man, you should watch it because there's one extra on there where it'll add more to it. Actually, the extras on the Man of Steel Blu-ray actually add to the movie because at one point they do this Discovering Krypton thing, which is almost like a Discovery Channel episode told from like a point of view of the movie. So it's almost like what happens after the movie where there's, let's say, the Discovery Channel, after Superman and Zod fight and everything ends, they got a hold of all the stuff that happened. So they actually talk about Krypton from like, well, yeah, we got the scout ship that left, that Zod left behind and stuff like that. We found this and that. It's really cool. Like it adds, almost like an after credit scene of the movie because they actually tell you where some of the shit happened, like where, like I said, where the scout ship that Zod had, like, you know, people be like, who gives a fuck about that? Well, they actually tell you what happened with that. Like, LexCorp and Star Labs got a hold of it, and they were doing research on it, and that's how they found some of the other information. Yo, it's really cool, man, how they did it.
Yo, I'm going to check it out for real. You'll never catch me talking shit about this dude ever, dog.
That's some nerdy ass shit, yo.
I really, like, on some real shit, man, I never thought I'd say this, but I forgive him for sucker punch off of that, dog.
right.
Like, that's some nerd shit, dude. Cause you know he didn't want to call. But he had to call.
You know he asked for the number and somebody was like, Zach, don't do this.
Yeah. like you know he had to have someone call them.
Right.
Yep. Like, get the number to that radio station, call me. Let me know when you get them on the line, man. Tell them Tell them exactly.
His assistant
title.
Probably changed the station too. Like, no, let's just change this to. We got there. We go. We got some hip hop right there.
Yeah,
Mr. Snyder.
He was like, nope.
Some Nicki Minaj. No, put that back. I want them to finish. Let them finish.
I bet they get nervous when they hear people talking about this shit. Like, oh shit, I'm out of the space.
They're like, well, you know, Cavill's coming out of his trailer. He's ready to shoot the scene. Give me one second. Just give me one. Just tell
I'm gonna take care of this real quick, yo.
Yeah, just I just need to make one quick phone call. These niggas are shitting on Aquaman.
And I will not stand for this.
He's like, he don't just talk to fish, y'all, okay? This isn't fucking Super Friends. he probably spoiled his movie.
Well, he did, if you think about it. Like, people were using this to say that they confirmed that Batman, that he's in, that Aquaman is in Batman versus Superman. Cause he was just like, he was just so nerdy. Like, he couldn't help himself. He was like, listen, I'm not saying, that Aquaman could whoop Superman's ass. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it could happen. You know,
right?
And if he's not in my movie, but if he was, right?
I mean, y'all know about the casting and all, but I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying that there's a scene where Superman gets stabbed with the trident, but it could happen.
It's canon. It's
right.
He's got magic, and you know what I'm saying? Like, the trident has some powers that I can't fully, like, put that on paper.
Oh,
right,
you
now.
Know he was dying. You know what? You know what, though? Because Zach was at Comic-Con when they introduced the footage for Batman versus Superman, and he was so, like, excited to introduce that shit, yo. Like, he's one of us, man. He's a big fucking nerd. He's one of us.
All right, and the last thing, guy who's not one of us. What, Karen?
No, just listen to you talk. Go ahead.
Arnold Schwarzenegger revealed that there'll
be. That's right. He's not one of us.
Terminator 5, Terminator Genesis, and it's spelled Genisys. Genesis.
So the way he would say it.
He spoke it into Siri, and that's what Siri typed. So that's coming out. You know, I don't have as much a hatred for the Terminator movies as other people do. I just enjoy the series. I even watched the TV show. So.
I was hurt when they canceled it because it was actually good.
Yeah, I'm a little biased here, so I'll probably be watching this shit. But if he got any involvement with it though, it's probably gonna be terrible. So. All right, man. Do we have any questions in the chat?
We did.
Okay, let me check those. For Romaine, this is from Ashley 3 Classy. Have you played Rogue Legacy or Binding of Isaac? Both dope roguelikes.
I have played Binding of Isaac. I mean, it's a good game, but it's creeped me the fuck out. Like, just the whole story of it has creeped me out. It's fun. Rogue Legacy, I've heard of it. I've played it at my friend's house and whatnot. I don't have it for myself, but those are very good games, and I had a lot of fun with it. Rogue Legacy, I like how each generation, like when you die, the next generation is like your grandson or something like that, but he has a new condition each time. So the first guy is just a regular, normal human being, but the next guy might be colorblind, so now the whole game is in black and white. And then, you know, you're going through that, and then the next, let's say he dies, the next kid's not colorblind, but let's say he's short. So now his jump can't have him reach all the places that he needs to go all the time, so he has to find different ways around the maze. Then the next guy is like, he farts all the time, so now the place where he needs to be quiet, is he just lets out farts all the time, and all the enemies just start jumping on him because he can't be quiet. So I like that jump, and I wish I had it for myself, but I mean, I got my backlog's too vast. I gotta get back on like actually finishing some of these games. So
it happens all the time, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, Rod, Karen, and Romaine, and Chris, when is the new Star Trek coming out again? Is it 2015 or 16? A girl needs her Trek crack. Just saying.
I think it was supposed to be 2015, but I'm hearing that it might be pushed back to 2016. So it's probably going to be 2016, more than likely. I haven't heard them moving anything on it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love me some Star Trek.
I don't know what these haters, like, I just saw, I put it in there and I saw some person already wrote, like, last year, some 10 reasons why we already know Star Trek 3 will suck. Yeah, these Trekkies are so fucking mad.
Wow.
But I love these are the best Star Trek films that they've ever made.
Period.
So,
yes.
My only ones I didn't fall asleep on.
Right.
Yeah.
Anybody on the panel or chat room in the Sleepy Hollow, Rod and Karen, would you consider a new podcast for the show? I am into Sleepy Hollow. I watched every episode last year. I would not think it would be a podcast for the show. Maybe you could do an off-season review or something, mm-hmm. but it's, so much time has passed now. I don't know how good a quality that would be because I've probably forgotten some of the shit that's happened on that show. But I'd definitely be watching season two, man. Really good show.
Yeah, I'm gonna try. I think season one is on Netflix or somewhere right now, so I might watch that soon to get into that.
Yeah, well, if you do, let me know, man. Maybe we could do a review of it or something because I fuck with that show. And last, Ashley Three Classy said the Hitbox TV seems to be an alternative to Twitch. So maybe now, does that have an app on, or do you need to like hook that up to your computer or something to live stream it? I don't know, but yeah, I guess maybe Hitbox TV will be the new wave. Make sure you check out Romaine, twitch.com/thatblackone, and it's the number one, not O-N-E. And also Twitter, That Black One. Don't forget to check out Chris, movietrailerreviews.net, and Insanity Report on Twitter. Check out Karen. Say that again. That is in D-A-T on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys know to find me, Rodimus Prime. This has been a long Nerd Off, but we had a long time. It's been a long time coming, too. So,
right.
Glad.
Oh, we didn't even get into one thing though.
Oh, what did we miss?
Nigga, WB got 9 movies coming out.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like I said, we didn't talk to
the next the next 6 years between Marvel and DC, not even including Fox and Sony. Nigga, we made it.
Yeah,
we this made it.
Like, you know what? I can't wait because we're gonna get the critical mass of comic book films. I can't wait until I start walking out of mediocre comic book films going, was this all
right? Right.
Because I'm not at that point yet. All this shit is still, like, I can't believe it's happening. Like,
right.
I walk out of Transformers 4 and was like, I still can't believe they making these. Like, I was a kid playing with these little toys, dog. Like, this is not supposed to happen. I remember David Hasselhoff as Nick Fury.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when our shit was straight to TV, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
go ahead.
Yeah, not only straight to TV, but like you even mentioned that you went to watch any of these and you were sitting alone at the lunch table for a couple days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so, I remember, dude, I hid my comic books in my book bag.
Yo, same here.
Because, like, I was more worried that niggas was finding out I was a nerd than anything. It's like, oh, well, nigga, you read comic books? I'll fuck your book up. Like, I was more worried about that shit than anything else happening that day. So, yeah, man, like, hearing DC announce they coming out with all these movies, and, like, I honestly have high hopes for DC because I don't mind the Nolanization of the universe as much as other people do, and, like, kind of making it gritty and real, because I like the New 52, and I think that they can have some opportunity here to diversify their heroes beyond Batman and Superman, and it could be real fun, man. If you throw a Flash in there, if you get a Wonder Woman in there, you like, these things could be extremely fun to watch play out. So I'm in for the ride, man. If they suck, they suck. But like, it's better than not having any movies right now.
Here's the thing: people don't also give them credit for. Like, remember they delayed what was supposed to be Man of Steel 2 when they didn't have to. Then they changed it to Batman vs Superman because they were like, you know, they moved like production. Batman vs. Superman is going to be done filming almost a year and a half before the movie comes out. They didn't delay it because of problems with the movie. Mm-hmm. They might be shooting another film at the same time. Might be Justice League. That's number one. Two, it seems like what DC did was they were like, all right, listen, we did Man of Steel. Even though people would say they didn't like it, overall, it was a good success. Let's take our time, wait, take these next 3 years, and actually plan out our universe.
Right.
And then, because for the last year, we've heard nothing about how DC was rushing their film. They want to be like Marvel. They want to do this. They want to do that. Turns out, no. They sat back. They've been working on things. They've been planning it. And they're actually going to wait to release 2 films a year starting in 2016. Dude, it's like DC has a chance to be just as good as Marvel and catch up. As much as people say they're behind, they have just as much chance to catch up now
because they're going to be doing 2 to 3 movies a year between 2016 and 2020. That is incredible when you think about it. Like, it's such a we are so lucky right now.
Yep. And it's going to be accessible to everyone, which is the best part, because there's people that are not up to date on the comic book lore like we are. We have been following it for years. But now, you know, I can actually suggest, hey, girl, let's go see this. And it not be, oh, I'm sitting through this awful comic book movie with this nerd. It's, wow, this was actually quite fun and engaging. And Superman and Batman, Arrow, and all these different people that they can start bringing into this universe. It's a series in itself. And you don't have to, I don't have to, like, sit there and go, well, back there, this is Kal-El, and Kal-El had to do this. And I don't have to sit there and do this. You know, like, for 3-4 days before taking someone out to a movie to see that, or taking a friend to see that. It doesn't matter who, but I don't have to do a bunch of prep work and give them homework and shit, you know? Right.
Yeah. I'm in, and I'm excited for all these movies. And,
me too.
You know, I get that some people are going to be disappointed, but I think more than anything, the response of some people to Guardians of the Galaxy pretty much proves nothing will make some people happy, so fuck it. They just get to be mad at me being happy, and they can go be miserable.
Right, and something else I wanted to say this, and as much as I try my best to not claim me being a nerd, because, see, I didn't go through the process of getting beat up for my comic books and things like that, so for me, I was like, well, I'm not really, like, a nerd. I didn't take, like, the AP classes and all that shit, but one thing I can say is that I'm not even gonna lie, Chris. I am 100% jealous of you, because I stalked you the whole time you was out there. I was following you on Instagram. I was following you on Twitter. I was like, he and Hall H was happening. And I ain't gonna lie, I was jealous. 100%. So that's how I know I'm officially a nerd, because I was like, man, I probably lose my goddamn mind.
Yeah, I wasn't jealous at all, because once I seen when he was like, yeah, I had to wait outside 16 hours, I was like, oh, no, I'm good. Because I could tell I would have been the person that would have ruined everybody's fun time by being like, yo, man, should we just leave? It's been 20 minutes.
Waiting in Comic-Con is not for everybody, trust me, but it can be worth it. And you gotta have a system. Like I said, if you have a system, you're not really waiting in 16 hours. Some people can go back to the room, sleep, and stuff like that, but you gotta have a system. There's plenty of people out there that came out there, had no system. And I feel sorry for those people, because we lost some good people.
They weren't ready.
A lot of red shirts on that path. All right, man. We'll talk to y'all guys later. Peace out.